نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الواري الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
We're just inviting you to the answer. Oh, you didn't do the answer. It says, you know me. This is an aborted idea. Remember that? They knew that in the prophecy. We didn't realize that the generation we were raising would be prophesied, or how it would say out of my mouth, first through the faithful but not through the first through the faithful but not through the talking. Now realizing we're talking about the children, that the first is faithful but not through. So the children know the first generation of kids born to us. You know, they'll stay faithful, they'll death. Some of them are still sawn off of our river. But they're not true enough to follow us on the path, right, of right now. So the elders they were talking to were the elite or the Gigi sitting down to the Anunnaki, saying, you know who they are. They're the ones who have went through great tribulation and have washed themselves clean in the blood of the Lamb, which is symbolic of those people who were dirty. Because remember, you are from the seed of the disability. Now, years ago, I explained to y'all about the red. Now, I told y'all, y'all have red, and that tells you that bills, if you want to drink water, that means if you're somewhere on the line, whether it's breathing or cloning, there is the sea people inside of you. The sea people are the Dragons, the Vulcans, and there are other than that, and then your planet, right, was Mel Dick, which is called M-A-L. M-A-L-D-E-K. Not the planet that the deer the chick bumped into on its normal route. On its original orbit. You got a original orbit of 25,920 years. It would make a standard route. It's a large ship. It had 144,000 passengers, headed by 3-4 elders, right, without searching the galaxy for other resources for their planet. They came out of Ilium for a planet called Lilith. Right, which is, Lilith is the eighth planet having two moons, right, in a galaxy that has 19 planets, right? And they are called the 16 B moons. The last four, we call them mother ships, so it's tremendous, a big ass, a big ass, the planet Earth, the diamond. You follow that? And it was going its way out searching for more planets of life explored than in the universe is in the planet. And that route that it takes, it was taken at that time, was a very normal route where it was counterclockwise to the planet that was in this solar system at the time. They never intended to crash into it. They didn't have a problem with it passed by Neptune, right? And Neptune slowed because of Neptune's storm belt, right? And of course, it was there towards Neptune. It was trying to pull away from Neptune. It bumped into the planet Melba, which is what they call Vulcan, right? Where the sea creatures live. Okay? And both all planets
time itself wants for four titles to switch. Right? Sometimes kind of side the four pieces of the family side. Act and ability. You follow that? Meanwhile, find it broken or melody way off further into outer space and became known as the lost time. The being on Dragon, their elimination, lived underwater, it's called a serpent people. You follow that? They stood around 4 feet tall, that build, that wear hair and red feet. You follow that? They had very, very advanced society underwater. This is the only time. Alright. Before Chick launched at Nibiru with the intention of a song. However, Nibiru had four cities built to save this mother Chick. And caught the sun in their forehead and locked them. Now they're dissolving, right? On Axis. And in the third thing of the north, east, south, and west wind. Alright? And then, it went on in its orbit, but it was wobbling around because of crash in convulsion or another caused damage. So it launched all three ships to go back to Ilium and back to their planet to let them know that they could have danger because it would launch out other crash detection. But in their fleet at the time, there were altogether 7 ships, with the 3 going back and the 10. Follow that? These 7 ships broke up into 3 parts, 3 and 4 each. Remember, you had 4 that were picked up in the Vulcan, and had this planet launched further into its path, it passed by Saturn. See that? And as it was moving, Saturn passed Titan. It jumps into, or as they say in Kanda, into Sumu or Shumu. The ancient way to spell it is Shumu. Right? It's called Ha-Neha in ancient Egypt. Right? Same place. And that Shumu is the way that they say Sumu. We are, or Shina. And that brings you Shina with that plane. Alright? So, as it passed on by Saturn, it kicked off of Saturn, it followed, or bumped into Titan, if you remember, and then it was in a wobbly course. Okay? As it reached into the area near Cana, which is the name that Earth is called, which is where you see. And TC to the water planet, always known as the water planet. It has the most water, the following connection. It had a lot of water, that's what I was calling it. Right? This is Earth, before it was Earth, it was like 2.5 to 3 times the size of it is today, which you have now. Earth has 7,126 diameters, 7,826 right? It wasn't that. It's just had better twice, and then it had a diameter of the moon. Right? And you have your size of time. So, we being lost on into, you know, space again, wobbling. These were the supreme beings on the ship. Or you call it Elohim in scripture, or Amunatim. This is taking place 25 billion years ago.
Tell
the people what time it is. They were here for the place for something. Maybe 24 billion years ago. So, you know how long ago this was before the normal Homo sapiens came into existence by human. Right? They passed that through, and a whole star war took place in the coming in the atmosphere. Right? Where the planet Hayman is having problems because there are 2 larger planets and 2 smaller planets on both sides of it, because the atmosphere is. It's always hitting, they're always wobbling. It's uncertain that it's full of 2 smaller planets than the sun, right? This is our Mercury and Venus. Then Mars and Jupiter, see, Mars is the outside, of course, in balance. So when you deal with a big planet, also the first of the planet in the atmosphere, it's so fair to catch lines from in that 11 o'clock, warship will pass the bridge. All right? But remember, Madeira has picked up the shot for Melbourne class or Vulcan class. And it is pretty right in the atmosphere. As of the last item, as it's moving, the ship, my dead mass center, Taylor, and Paul Kuna, the boat in half first. But a part of Kuna is a sort of the upper lower part. Yes. The lower part of Kuna, right, the chain, which is called Astral, and is moving in a counterclockwise direct to your solar system, systematic motion. And it starts to fold and bend. All right, so the 11th class is immediately picked up by Bill and Leonard. They didn't have no effect whatsoever on their plan. But the following class has that one class from Vulcan smashed into the next class in half, followed by another one that crashed into the whole space field. And at that time, it's going to go out of orbit. We had a fair and what's called a star helicopter. If that planet is pulled out of orbit, all the other planets will be caught up in the power of the pull of the sun and be drawn towards it, which is called obviously the planet, so way back then, and be drawn up in the soil. And the beings that passed into it, the supreme beings, were responsible, and he was responsible for this craft. Without that, I must do something about it. So from the ability, and then I said, we went back to a group in the room, he had four of them locked on to the planet Thema, creating, as I told you before, what's called a section BB permit with one crack. This locks in on the planet, that hole is going through it, that holds control of it, and energy from each one of these here, four cracks. Deep. And you're doing it in the world, you see it. Lock it in the Earth's atmosphere, bent it into its shape. It's more like oval in the circle. The hole is penetrating in the center. Instead, the 11th class launch made the Vulcan, who were part of the atmosphere, the last ship of Earth, the other crash, the last ship, assuming that they were being attacked by K-Nat on behalf of the world, not knowing that which is rather, immediately shot out a bulk of energy towards Kenya. This was prevented and shot by the crash of the building and turned into what you know as ball lightning going back in the room. Right? A large ball of energy. Right? And sent and shot right from the center when it hit into the belly of Kenya, and it's in writing, as you've seen the writing. And there is like a 600-mile sun. Follow that and screen it so that its light will go off out of the hole in the northern region and create what you refer to as the auroras or the sun flares that they see. That is the heat, so that the heat is not something there, but it burns out across inside, and the auroras that was in the center started speaking to creating a very tropical environment which became known as Shambhala, and it was out of the time, you know, various names that picked up long time for this world. So now this new planet, it has a diameter of 7,900 miles of 24,000, cut the diameter in half, right? And they send out the radius, and the radius tells you where that sun sits, because it's not trapped in the atmosphere itself. And the L is responsible for this. The father was guilty, right, for the crash and made this their pet flock. The four crash were long called in Revelation, four angels, four winds to hold the planet into the form of death. To set off there to keep this planet from exploding. And I've been there from generation to generation, all the way back to the Revelation, trying to keep it. Then they had a fear that the opening and center of Earth with its own sun. Of course, they call it Akshu one time, right? In other words, it's Ishara, right? It's coming contact with the outer sun, and that would cause overheat, so it would put another crystal city, a large craft that took the city above the planet, right on the outside of your sphere. It's a technical way to get a whole different direction. Like, this city of ships is over, and like you speak about in Revelation 21st chapter. It's over, and because the ships were trying to reflect the light away from the planet, and then it's so close to the planet, because it's the axis, and the straight axis was coming from the rear axis, so it could cause the right, while the more right-handed people on the planet Earth and what they should be, which is ambidextrous, because you should have been ambidextrous, writing a reflection on the planet Earth, where because of that, people look different on one side than the other. You tend to be looking at yourself, but you look the same. And if you took a picture of one side of your face and took a picture of the other side of your face, you'll see that because the left side of your body is weaker and less developed, the whole side of your face is. They say, look, well, your left foot is a little smaller. Your left eye might be a little more closed. That is because that's obviously scientific error. For those who believe in God or Allah or Elohim or Adonai or Yahweh or whatever you use to believe that you made mistakes and made one side of your body larger than the other, one side of your body more agile or more, you know, capable than the other, is to say that you made a mistake. But a mistake came in when the planet is still on this axis. You see that right now, it's on a 23-degree axis, right? You watch most people when they stop human beings and they stop to lean and put all that weight on their right foot as opposed to left. Very rarely. So you do have to have the other hand because they're red buttons. Of course, humans were ambidextrous, but numbers, 75 out of 100 people on the planet Earth are indeed right-handed as a result of this. That is done to keep the planet because of water. Earth does water. Then when the planet is set in the atmosphere, remember that last craft that I mentioned from the Gulf of Sea feature. Right? It crashed down on the planet Earth. Remember, the Venus went on to a new orbit. Its new orbit became 2,600 miles. This made it 1 year for them. Alright, besides the sun. So, that last crashed down on the planet Earth, and they did live and went into the water. And thus, you get the story of your evolutionary man coming out of the water, being half built, and you are linked into that dependency. They were disagreeable people from that planet Earth. No, just so you have more disagreeable people walking the planet. That's why you hold your hand like this here in front of you and turn it around, you will see you have webs at the bottom of your finger. Right? If you realize that when you were in your womb, your mother, you were the tadpole, a fish, and you did have a tail, so it's in your spinal column and it is a flat bone. Whether you want to put it to the toxins of the Europeans who have wider standing because they are on a lesser evolutionary track than you are, and therefore they tell us longer, your spinal column does curve to show that you once had a tail that came down, and if you were once a sea creature because you could breathe underwater, not to take the same as the abyss, and the abyss is another way of saying absolute, which is a whole state in something called hell. The Christians, the Muslims, and the so-called Jews say in hell there is a place beneath you where people burn according to the sun there. And then, at the screen of the sun of the moon, people would burn. The reflection of the light from the sun out was curved according to the down there, would suffer and burn. But the ancient men knew about the so-called learned religious men taught about it called hell. When you say the word hell, H-E-L-L, what do you got to put O on it, and you get a slang, O hell. But O hell in the ancient Syriac and Aramaic, which is, let's say in Hebrew language, means tabernacle, or tent, or hell. And that was considered a tabernacle down there where Shinti was, S-I-M, Shinti, T-I, Shinti, which is the laboratory where a lot of science. This is a experiment that's taking place that took with a reflection by what's taking place on the planet Earth. So once this is set up, and that is put in place, and all this responsibility and the health things have passed down in here, living in the water, we're talking about evolutionary time over millions of years and changing the command ship. With all that, and life was started on planet Earth, a new form of life, because life that was here was burnt up by the crashes, the explosions, the earthquakes, of course, if you want to cut a plant in half, and all the life on the dead. It was later on that, I think it's about 11 billion years ago, right, that the moon, which was an independent planet, broke off from it, got its name Kingu, because the head of the fleet
that launched out into 11 feet from the planet. The K-Mat is called Tengu, right? And their moon became known as Tengu or Shishi. It appeared bound weight for present day and visited there by NASA. This day they began to realize that life did live there once all these things are going to come out. That our ancient descendants, the Shumu people or Sumo people, like I said, even known as Tide Nephilim, right, knew all of these facts. Now the present day scientists and astronomers and astrologers and solar biologists and all the different all of these things on the earth learn are beginning to realize that when they say that this planet K-Mat picked up the name T-K-I back then, and that K in the Greek got it changed into a G, and that I pronunciation became Geo, right? That's where they get geology, geometry, geometry, etc., etc. All that applies to that ancient Sumer word key, our ancient descendants, which I said before was tied into the Egyptians. And the Egyptians got it from the ancient Sumer people, when Israel, one of the sons of Ham's son, after the flood, moved over into Egypt and brought over the culture that was once over. And this, that's why you find over amongst the Sumer people that space fish, that bull man, that man, that bull. They have the needles, obviously, a few plastic needles. The temple is constructed the same way, architects constructed it. They use a base stone to color their temple. You can go to ancient Babylon, which is where they finished at that time. Right there, you can see the temple is constructed the same way, experiment like back and forth. Knowledge was really greater in Sumer and older, and then went over into Egypt as the same people, and then Egypt became a mountain top for Africa. So it's very different to be the people. Now the Negroes go back so long ago, and this is way before prophecies of earthly things. This is the prophecy thing. Millions of years down the line. So Negroes are testing about who are these people. They were talking about the fact that they longed for the day that the elders would collect their people off the sun. Because remember, the Negro is when they actually started planning the breeding of a being called Adam. And they called him Adam because Adam, you know, from the original language, Adam, meant earthling or of the ground, of the red, or the special chicken, right, to be vocal for them. But they had been coming here for a long time, they called themselves the Anunnaki. Those who took Saturn as their home planet, because Saturn had a necklace around it, became known as the Anunnaki, the Anunnaki, but the Anunnaki means those of the neck. Now we're the ones who are the disagreeable side of things. Each one took a planet as their symbol. That's why in ancient Sumer writings, you'll find all of the spurts of planets actually the name of people they call or refer to as their god or descendants. I mean, Inky or Fur, and etc., etc. Any questions? Which shape? The bill? How big is it? It was as big as the planet. It was as big as the planet Earth is now. It itself, the bill would never bump in when it came out. It was the fourth planet. No ship that is tremendous. They bumped in with people, one, and then the other for the whole thing. The other one crashed down on it, and it's that one. Hey, the bill completely shot and came back down and finished the little game. He's talking about the great capacity team. He's trying to hit. He finally walked his own team to turn the body. So by the time he came back in 2000, he's going to be like, bam, hit his head. And that was the formation in the world. Omega. Omega satellite crash, they were caught, and I said earlier, those satellite crashes in Vulcan were caught by the Deirdre. The Deirdre's ship had four units that had magnetic power broken off at that closure, such that he was fine, so he was fine with us. And once it got caught in it, it started tearing out the whirlwind. Right? The notion of moving, we can say magnetic energy, which helps to create the force field around the building. But the chapter, the thing is, the building was navigating itself broadly after bumping into Melvin or Vulcan, and then was being drawn into the solar system, where it kicks off of Saturn, it spins off again, and staring in, it never hit. The building never really hit. It was a satellite that picked up. So they can navigate for itself, but
to navigate within the range between the force field and the actual flag of the wheel in that circle of energy. There were those four vulcan ships or noble ships. And there are one of the craft in the thing. They will continue on with its orbit outside. There's a very common visit here. So you talk of Mars has light, Jupiter has light, the sun is trying to have light on here. Yeah. These ships went back to the world, right? Eventually heard the conflict that, of course, the communications are happening. It was going on, but the commander of the fleet convinced them that everything was under control. They made their cycle and they would be caught within this solar system, moving in and out of it counterclockwise. And at their greatest scale was the asteroid belt that was created in between Mercury, Venus, and then everything about Jupiter and Saturn. In between there was an asteroid moving in the opposite direction. And that was the biggest scale, but that was created by them breaking off pieces. The lower part of it has payment, and that they can keep out of control, we are having a problem. So ships were sent to affect the solar system. The message came back that there was no longer in danger of under control, right? And the aggressors, the 11 aggressors that came out from, came out was eliminated, and four ships of the Marble or the Vulcan was eliminated, and one ship was crashed down with 157. They crashed down running the water. They begin to deliver the water across the earth. Eventually, in ancient Semitic land, they see the water being coming out of the water and coming on land, you know, kind of out of the water, all kind of rain. The atmosphere was conducive, but that was way past the set all the way out there. Falls, ice age, land, like that other story of land, atmosphere being with ammonia, etc. That's another story of another kind of life form. That life form is in the water because of that crash down. They do some mathematics now. They do mathematics and they basic mathematics in existence of the sun and certain other formulas, and it proves by 0, 2, 3, 4, right, times 2, 3, 4, the position of the sun, that there was definitely another planet that lived within the solar system and has something to do with asteroids, right? And that is a planet known for Vulcan and called on present day television. The bowl of Genesis 9, that the Elohim made a covenant with Noah, which was our mother. They said, you'll place the bowl, Christmas tree, light it, and give off a rainbow effect. Because it hit the crystal, and the look for Christmas tree, that will place a bowl in the sky as a covenant with you, because you are perfect in your generation, and that you are a new Adam. For all times before the generation, that bow was the mother ship. The mother plane of life comes from. Also called the being, commanded by the son of Enki, Merodach. You call that? That is this one. That is this reveal. There was many ships called Nibiru, just like the United States had a ship, and they call it the USA 412, let's say. And that is the United States of America 412. You understand that? Nibiru is a star fleet, a large ship that launches from Risk. Risk is the eighth planet in a three-sun galaxy called Ilium. The Quran refers to it as Ilium. The Torah refers to the deity over it as El Ilium. And even Baal, a descendant from Anu, named in his son Ilium or Ilium, and he became known as El. If you write the name Babylon, you see that Babylon really spells Babylon.
Check it out,
bro. Y-L-O-N. Now, you have heard over the years, Babylon, Bab of L, and cross the word thyself. Draws the L on confusion, right? But today, on this September 8th, 1993, is the first time you're going to hear it being used this way. The door to Elohim, the door to the highest. But in due time, people will start to pick it up the way they did the word history and reverse the word door back and get the word God and say they came up here and didn't come from me. Alright? So when they got down to earth and bring your Bible as Yahweh came down to see what they were doing, he found out that instead of simply doing what his father and the people of the galaxy called Elohim or Anunnaki, Anunnaki, he is the ancient word for earth. He, but it doesn't mean earth, it means G-O, which is G-E-O, G-O, which is geology, geography, geometry. This is an ancient word from the ancient Sumu, S-U-M-E-R, not S-U-M-M-U-R-O-A-R, Sumar. And this is not letter. That was way after when those Jesus came down to Mecca, 200 of them. This is not Mecca. They came down, poured it right in the way you see they crashed down and set up the land in green doom. Which is where you get the word Oz for earth, and it means desert. It's crashed down the way you see the dirt where the rock is right now, falling in Babylon, the doorway to Elohim. When they say the ship was manned and controlled by Indians, after being here, they started to set up earthly empires in Genesis 6 and 8. They started having sex with earthly women, Indians, who had descended here, that in their eyes were very beautiful women. But in that day and time, the planet Earth was full of all types of creatures. Mermaids, which they recently found, a body. Bigfoot called Shaggy, which came from the foundation of all lions. Unicorn. They had all kinds of creatures that came from other galaxies. Some were laboratory experiments, which was put inside women here. Some people wanted to get this information. Realize he was walking with any fire. Go back. When the pyramid coming from Elohim in the Quran, there to the left, almost the forward, because as it passed, the planet began to wallop by an explosion called an electrical storm on it. Electric to the planet, you call it electric today. So it swung off the orbit and it bounced into a planet. It was a part of your galaxy called the Long Night Planet. You know there's a planet out there because of the way the planet moves, the way your galaxy moves. Yet there was another planet. It was knocked out of its orbit by the crash of a tremendous ship called the Deep. Right? Carrying 144,000 beings from Rift. And it's far along to find minerals in the source of the other, not coming from the Earth's atmosphere at times. It has been in the Earth's atmosphere thousands of times. What in the camera is this? With no taste in the Earth's atmosphere. Three times that. They have been there many times, but Mars has life. Venus has life. Jupiter has life. And the moon. Because of thought was there. They knew that Canaan, the place of the earth, had the sources they could use. They were venturing off into the universe, finding more planets that had the sources that were not repeated like the men down. A very small planet. But this ship got on a course by next to storm on next. Bumped into Vulcan, sending Vulcan into asteroid, and the colony shot off into space, coming home as a long time. Or the father died and sinking into the water, assuming that this was an attack launched out four ships to attack the ship's leader. Those four ships, manned by four angelic beings, I mean, from a crew of them, did not attack the day because the building was set up with four magnetic force fields spinning around it because of the physical movement power of man.
I'm not going to do that. I agree with 8,000 years.
you about the Bible. Here it came out. I got three moving this planet on this ship with the Vulcan called straight and hit the ground. Shattering. And as it is, and as it is, it gets to pass, right, came back. The other, which is the north wind, I thought it's the first one, you know what I'm saying? The other, which is the west wind, so the east wind is the east. So I did that, I already hit, and it broke up. The asteroid moving counterclockwise, right as the asteroid belt in the middle of your solar system, moving counterclockwise, it causes so many disturbances to the sphere and the planet. Do some research. Then this begins to slow. And it spins, it's like a thing that I've got to shatter pieces that are moving in the opposite direction, counterclockwise. Then that begins to spin as the other wing hits, smashed right into it, and back in the body. You follow that? The game went on for 3,000 seconds, and finally came back through while the planet was bobbing in this. The life form on it was dying. It resulted in ice age. Landslide. The air is lost out. Four angels beings. So, four angels of the four corners of the earth are holding things. Anybody? And they trap by the key as they come to land. Because of the theological, the mathematical, the perfect, all the sciences are for the Greek, a lot of the time. And before you, before Earth, you were here one, the being here one. Right? They trapped it, and now they form a hole, they threw it, and the sun, the dead, also, you refer to as key, not paper. No longer, the rats are never made into the people. They thought, I tried to do it, it's a danger. You know what's going to happen? Instead of this sun, the drawing triangle, the dark, which you have central leading lines in the center, light is trapped right in here, the whole pedestal from here to there, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we just
got a ship here, a ship there, and a ship there, equal distance and distance. That's right. Put this little wall, put it right there, and that is the right there. There, that's the wall. That's it. Look at it.
All right,
buddy.
All right,
buddy.
All
right, buddy. The atmosphere is going to go bad, the sun will get closer, the wind, he's beating him, the monkey got picked up by him and educated by them, the informed, so they showed them screens of the flight and how it happened, how it was not done intentionally. The pilot and these men were transported to his earth and they could have received him on this beautiful planet. So quick returns. The pilot had to live and receive him. The presidency, other black teams stayed, planted germs in the world that would eventually become amoebas and allergies from cancer, set off the fire spot. How would it all have been set? Well, it goes back a little further. It goes back to the circle and the square. When you circle in the square, you get behind you and the healing. You take the circle, cut it into four pieces of pie, with one piece of pie, making this piece, the upper right hand piece when you're facing it, and it becomes the bottom left hand pie. That's it. Move it down. Then, vice versa, tiger. The opposite direction, word. H1, H-E. Word is substance when it burns, it gives off hydrogen. This was long before this sentence. This happened 93 billion years ago, when the sun oxygen was blue. That's how it came from the Ilias to the sun. When or not? Or did you? Sorry, I'm raising the sun. So you know that the tablet, the seven tablets of the Roman Ilias, was put together about the middle of the world of the first year. How real, how exciting they come from. That's why. Because the seven tablets represent the opening of the seven fields of the land. I told people that the seven fields are the seven scriptures, but the seven scriptures are 15 numbers. And it says, when it is open, no man will be able to know. And since information is revealed, man has started opening the eye, and Abraham's story will never be the same.
My question is about the pictures that I see around and the pictures I see in your books, right? What is the significance of including the pictures with the words?
That's a very good question. The pictures you see on the wall is real important because if we don't do this, he's going to write them off as white, the way he does all other black men's histories. He distorts the pictures and gradually alters the way they look, makes you know they're real, everybody's real light skin, the same way they did the Cleopatra movie and the Moses movie. And people now think Charlton Heston is Moses. And they think that Elizabeth Taylor is really what Cleopatra looked like. And so what I did is, and you happen to be a child that was smart enough to pull the pictures out. 99% of them are so afraid to touch the Bible, even in that state, that they'd never do that. And they start looking at those pictures as they read the Bible and really think that Jesus lived in the village and had a beard and looked like a hippie. They start getting that white Anglo-Saxon hippie image in their mind of what God looks like. And being there telling them that Jesus is God, you know what that means? They think they are. When they look in the mirror and they see a black face, they think that they see themselves as the opposite of white. Yeah. So they teach you that white is opposite of black. Then God is white. Then what must black be? The devil. So what I've done is said, like me or not, I'm going to start putting images of black people in the books regardless of what anybody says so that the children that read it start to see Moses and Jesus and Abraham and Yusuf and all the people of the scriptures in their real shade and color. The men on the wall are put there so people can remember these great men of our history. Because the white man would love for us to just knock Marcus Garvey and Noble Drew Ali and Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He'd like to lock them out of our history, but he makes sure me and you remember his history, because if you reach in your pocket and took out a dollar bill, you'd be looking at a part of his history. He made sure we got our face on George and Abraham and Jefferson all day. He made sure of it. So I'm not going to be fool enough myself to say it's not important to me. I'm saying when I think a physical impression in the mind is important. What a person thinks things are oftentimes has a a way of affecting the way they react to things. Mm-hmm. Maybe people become, see a white guy with a beard, and they start, little black kids, and he goes, Jesus, mommy, welcome to the village. And the mother has to say, no, that's a hippie. And that shouldn't be like that.
It's interesting. It doesn't mean anything, but I agree with you in the sense that there was a certain hypnotic brainwashing that we've all been under as a result of his nonsense, all right?
It's
got to be sort of cleared, removed, all right? So by whatever means it has to be removed, I'm all for that, all right?
Okay. All right, Michelle, you're saying that now. That's cleared up. But what about, okay, you gave us a picture of the Most High. You gave us a picture of him, that being the title. Now, I'm speaking for myself. I don't know if anybody has ever seen him or is him or whatever they want to believe.
Right.
But I have never come in contact with this being.
Right.
So that would therefore still put me in a belief state.
Right.
I'm believing that this being I knew exists. I have no contact with him.
Correct.
So my question is, how can you question the existence of this person?
You should question the existence because you haven't had the experience. You should. I'm saying don't accept that that's a picture of a noose. But listen to this. If Michelangelo can paint an image of God, you follow that? And then you read a book because Board of Education demands that you do, and he stamps in your mind that image of God, regardless of what I tell you about the Most High and the Supreme Being. I'll just make it clear to you, so you see what I'm saying. All right, listen to this. We do this all the time, right? You with me? I want everybody here to say Jehovah. Good. Very strong.
You know he.
Good. What picture do you see in your mind of a person or persons when you say Elohim? Don't lie. None. Ready? Michael Jordan. What? Do you see somebody in your mind? You see a human being, don't you? Now, when Michelangelo does the Michael Jordan and wherefore to still do the Elohim, is that what I'm saying? He is now implanting an image in our mind that regardless of where we are and what we do, we will always reflect back on God as Michelangelo do it. Why do this here? See that finger? You seen the picture right of the hand where the hands meet? Like I said, that's in my mind. I get this impression now. Watch this. God. You start getting the first thing is an older man with a voice like this.
I am God.
That's what 20th Century Fox in most of the movie industries have done. They gave God a voice. And he usually has a British accent, even with movies shot in America. If he's going to speak English, you got to speak the Queen's English, so God speak with a dialect. But whether that was thought out, I don't know, but the reality is God has a voice. God has a hand. His son, see that? God's son, who is that? Would somebody describe Jesus for me from what you know in your mind? Hey, was anybody here a Christian? All y'all Christians? Could you describe Jesus who was on your grandmother's wall? Okay, not now, okay, but I'm still a Christian. So, for me, could you describe the pictures your grandmother had on the wall?
She had dark brown hair, blue eyes, pale looking, white robe.
Was he doing this?
Yes.
Was he doing this? You know what I'm saying? They didn't just give us a face. They also gave us choreography. Yeah. He has certain things he does. And now, when you see the Pope knows the choreography. So the Pope goes by and does this. And when he does this, what comes to our mind is we superimpose Jesus Christ over the Pope so we don't look at him, you know, how old and decrepit he's starting to become. We do, he goes, and we see in our mind's eye the image that Michelangelo or whomever. Now, as Jehovah's Witness, if you open their book, like the sister said, they have their own drawing of Jesus. Jesus doesn't have shoulder-length hair. In the Jehovah's Witness book, he has a nice haircut. I don't want to get his haircut, but he got a nice haircut. He has a Midian, it's called a Midian trim across his forehead. when you wear your beard like this, like my that. That's a specific beard. It represents a specific culture. It's called a Midian trim as opposed to the big beard. Jesus wears a Midian trim. So Jesus, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, goes to a barber. Somebody cuts Jesus' hair. Scissors can cut God's hair. You get the drift? God is infallible, but scissors can cut his hair. Did Jesus have to cut his nails in the 33 years he lived? Did Jesus sit down and eat? What's one of the things Jesus ate? What's that? What else? When he got to the upper room, he said, I want some meat. Jesus ate some animal that he created. Jesus had a lamb, piece of lamb. Let's say curry. Let's say he's making. He had a curry lamb. You see what they've done? First they give you the God, the three being complex, and then they slowly but surely give you what they call anthropomorphism, where they lay things over it and it's low story that God has a hand. God is watching you in God's heart. God spoke to his lips. The face of God. God listened. The hip of God. Moses saw the back of God. As Moses was coming up to Mount Sinai, God was turning the corner. He said, it says in the Bible, he saw the backside of God. God had a look. You understand what I'm saying? After they've given us this supreme being thing, then they slowly but surely take it apart in our minds. So we're confused. So if I'm a Baptist, I got a concept of God as a Baptist. The Mormons have a different picture of God. And what the Mormons do while they're putting God up there, they're also putting Joseph Smith. While they're putting God there, they got Joseph Smith holding a book doing it there too. In their church. And his book is the Book of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Bible. So they give you the Bible, and then and they pull you in with that Bible. Now they're getting you in, they're doing this. And then they who? The Muslims do the same thing. The Muslims lure you with the Quran, and as you're coming close, this hadith is coming like this. And when you get there, you know, the Quran goes in the box, and everything is about hadith this, Sunnah this, Muhammad this, Muhammad this. The importance, sister, of having faith in. People say, why do you draw Abraham? I draw everybody who I see. Say, how do I know you see them? You don't. You don't believe them. Right? You don't. Now, Abraham. You get a picture? Isaac. You get a picture? Moses. You get a picture? Muhammad. Did you get a picture? I'm Michelangelo now. How does it feel? You know what I'm saying? How does it feel to do that to people? For you to take it upon yourself to personify God and angels, because there are angels all over the Catholic Church with wings like this. You know, to personify God, give him characteristics, and nobody questions. And if I do it, you come to me and say, how do you know Abraham looks like that? I was like, excuse me, did you go to church and ask them how they know Jesus looks like that? Well, when I do it as a question, everybody else, the Muslims had a fit when I did a picture of Muhammad. They were like, oh my God, low elbow, boom, boom, boom. That nigga was bugging. And I was like, so I was supposed to wait until y'all draw an Arab version of Muhammad, and then I got to teach my son that of Muhammad. So I'm supposed to wait for you to do that. And he said, no. If I insult you, I'm sorry. No, I ain't doing that. Image is important. It's important for character building. And damn it, if I live in America for 400 years and don't know the images with any good character reflect me, how the hell do you expect my kids to improve? How do you expect them to start feeling good about themselves when all the characters reflected about me is bad? Even Michael Jordan, with all he did, there's still this hidden thing about his father's death. Right? Even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, stand in basketball for me. With all he did, there's still that thing about the Washington Kamaz group that he belongs to, that held Washington under. Sammy Davis Jr. had an affair, but they had to destroy his character. You understand? They had to destroy George Washington's character. They had to say, oh, George Washington had wooden teeth, traded slaves for liquor. He was an alcoholic. What's this crap with destroying character? You know what it does? It leaves room to place individuals of my choice. Whoever's controlled. You know that? Here's what I'm going for you. Mickey Mouse. How many of you know what Mickey Mouse looks like? If you are under 35 years old, you don't know what Mickey Mouse looks like. You know the new Mickey Mouse. When we were kids, there was a different Mickey Mouse. The one that got Disney World is not Mickey Mouse. That's a new guy. Who knows Betty Boop? Tell me about Popeye. The one they put in the movie is not the original Popeye, it's Olive Oil and Pluto. And who was the one who said, for a burger today, I'd gladly pay you tomorrow. Look what they did to Mr. Magoo. They've taken Mr. Magoo from a cartoon character and made him a person. Now when I say Mr. Magoo, I no longer see the cartoon. When I say Betty Boo, I know. When I say Popeye, when I say Batman, when I say Superman, I see Christopher Reeve. And there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with taking the primordial, the images of the people that only look like one race of people. That's wrong. In a world where there's so much racial tension, that's wrong and it's not even logical because it breeds danger. No, first Bart said Afro. Because Bart Simpson was invented by a Negro. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
And then he was brought up. Why? Why was it necessary to change him? Why couldn't he just leave the character? But I miss Michael Jackson. He cut off his nose. Minnie Riperton. Richard Pryor. Drugs. Go ahead, Bill Cosby, his son. Nat King Cole died because he came down south. He had throat cancer. Came out the one of my favorite artists. Came out the hospital because they wanted him to do a show down south. And when he got on the stage, Klan members threw bottles at him. Knocked him unconscious. He went back in the hospital and the doctor said, I get to get his stage. He could have lived, but he was heartbroken and didn't want to live. Go check the story. He touched a very sensitive one there. He killed himself. That's how hurt he was. Do you know that people down south didn't like Elvis Presley? Did you know that? Elvis Presley was a nigger. He moved too much, they said. Too much hip action. Too much of this stuff. And they did not like him until he was dead. That's another thing. They eulogize you when you're dead. Talk about all the good things you did. How nice you were. But even President Kennedy, after he was dead. Oh, he was having an affair with Marilyn Monroe. He was hanged up with his brother Bobby was involved with the mafia. Marcus Garvey. What did they do to him? Does anybody know what they did to Marcus Garvey? Huh? They murdered him. Why? What's the image? Are you guys, when you have your first child, are you going to put Marcus Garvey picked up on the wall? And tell people, tell your kids, this is Marcus Garvey, he's a great man. Huh? Are you going to put Tyler Philadelphia up on the wall? Why not? He's the Lion of Judah. That was good. You're Jamaican. You see how we think? You see what I just said? That was it right there. We think all Jamaicans are Rastafari. All Jamaicans acknowledge that. That's part of the, I know it's not true. But the bottom line is that's what we believe, because that's what's been taught to us. In fact, when we see a black person who says they're Muslim, the first thing that comes to our mind is, are you a black Muslim? Well, if someone knocks on your door on Sunday morning with a suit on and say, no, I ain't sitting this open. I'm not a joke, it's on your uncle. What have they done to our mind? You've got to go into why it's important to become Michelangelo. Is they announce to everybody to rid this subliminal seduction. I can't. That's the thing I'm telling you. That's what I can't do. That's the sad. I can't erase what Michelangelo did. But I can get there before the Mohammedans. See, the Mohammedans set out to come to America to convert Americans to Islam. I know, because I'm one of them. He came here as an Arab to convert people. The bomb said Islam. And part of that plan, right, was to implant in their mind Arab, also the Arab side. And that would remove the Americanism out of you and make it easy for you not to care about where you're standing when a bomb is there. That's all part of the Arab plan. And that's why they wanted to kill me when I put out a picture of Muhammad. Because they didn't get a chance to put their image in their head for how we can do it. And I said, this is what Muhammad looks like. And that Muhammad is not no, he's not a what? Nigger? What is that? I thought there was no racism in Islam. Well, does it make a difference? And he said, well, nobody knows what Muhammad looks like. And I said, I do. He said, how do you know? He came to me. Now, if they say no, it means he's dead. He came to me and he spoke to me and said, I want my picture known. I want people to know what I look like. I don't want people to mix it up. That's what I'm doing right now. Christians, is Jesus dead or alive, according to them? He's alive, according to Christians. Sitting on the right-hand side of God in heaven, and he visits preachers periodically and talks to their heart. Well, Jesus visited me and talked to me and told me to draw a picture of him. So, when he said, the picture they got out of me is not me. A doctor, I know you can draw. I want you to draw the picture. He stood down. He sat down in the chair. He did like this. And I took my pen and I went, hold still. After about 2 hours, Jesus got tired and actually couldn't sit down. Threw me off the floor. God got tired. So, when I finished drawing, I asked him, is this okay? He looked at me and said, no, fix the nose. So, I fixed the nose and I said, is that okay? He said, all right, let's. Who denies God is sitting up there? Come on. I'm going to get y'all. Come on, let me say, y'all are hypocrites. Because y'all believe God is omnipresent. And the moment I say he's over there, y'all say he ain't. You see, you believe he's omnipresent. You believe God to be everywhere. But just because I say he's over there, now he's not. But you know what? All over the world, people go to places like South America. Because someone says there's a statue of Mary crying. And people pack up their bags and run to South America and look and see condensation and fall down and start praying because they feel that God's mother, who didn't believe in, has confined herself to the one statue in this one town, this one village, and they sit out there and have candles and Jesus ain't here. Mary's here, not Jesus. You know what they're about? And they really believe that something took place there. Now, I say, God's up on that thing up there. He waves. Y'all didn't see him wave? You know why y'all didn't see him wave? I'm going to tell you why. Because y'all don't have him in your heart. See? it's a game. See, in order for you to have seen him wave, you would have to have been saved. You would have to have had him in you. You would have to been down inside your heart. You would have to move around you and up inside you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Lord Jesus. You ain't got the Holy Ghost, so you can't see him, but I'm in touch with God. You see the game? And we can't get under it beating ourselves up. We got to get from under that crap. God is sitting up there. Hey, he's sitting right up there. That's it. Do you see him? Is he there? Where isn't he? Where isn't God? Then God is up there. And God is here, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there. That's where God is at. So there's no place where God isn't. The people that bother me are the people that are trying to put God someplace. Our Father, who art in heaven. God can't sit inside heaven. God has a throne. God don't have a seat. Well, that's the metaphor towards heaven. God can't be in heaven. God can't be in and be God. You understand that? And that is a subliminal attack on your conscience and your subconscious that makes you misinterpret God as a being that exists. The love force, the harmony, the beauty, the concern, that's God. Now, where is God? The question should be, where isn't God? Now, where is God? Because God can't be any place. God can't be any person. God can't be anything. But God can be. You follow that? And all of us are in God. Now, is God in us? Only if we are in God. Otherwise, to separate him, take a portion of stuff that's inside here, is putting him in a person, place, and a thing. That's what they don't want us to grasp. They want to give us a supreme being concept, and when we start to question and make it a sun, so we can have a focal point. And then that sun is an image they want to put in our mind, and then that relates to the people that look like image. And it's all over. You follow? If I come along and say Jesus is black, I'm a racist. That's the wrong thing to say. That's the wrong thing to do. Now let me answer the question. Are these the faces of the real people? Yes. Yes. That's it. Now, when you ask me, how can I prove it? I can't. I don't have to. You understand? The burden of proof is on you to bring me their real faces if that's not them. Say, I beat you to the punch. You follow what I'm saying? I don't have to prove that that's not Abraham. You have to bring me the picture of Abraham. And then show me, and then tell me, I'm at you. No. This is Abraham. You know what I'm saying? No, this is Abraham. No, this is Abraham. This is Abraham. This is Abraham. That's it. That's definitely the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, and the Baptist. They all got a different Jesus. Will the real Jesus please stand up? So all of y'all, you have to get rid of all their images. The only way to make people get rid of all their images is to come out with images they don't like to see. As long as you're doing it to me, it's cool. But when I do it back to you, how does it feel? I'm saying, when I say, no, Columbus in the stuff of America, Rodney did. Who's Rodney? See, Rodney sailed before Columbus. He came from Africa. He sailed around this way. It was Rodney and Umfufu and Mustafa. Yeah, and Mustafa. They say they came here first. They were here. They were, when Columbus came, they were the ones that said, how you doing, Columbus? Prove it's not true. You understand? The burden of proof. People will have to, what? What will they have to do? They'll have to stop presenting the facts when you put them before it. If you don't ever put anything up, they'll tell us any damn thing. But when you start saying, prove it. Prove Jesus existed. Prove it. What have you found out, Milwaukeeans? When you ask people to prove that a man named Jesus existed, give me proof. What have they done? Say, show me something that the rabbis from any other village, anybody around you, from anything, anywhere, where anybody can prove it. They can't do it. And they get mad at you. Because they never were asked questions like this before. That's what Daniel said in Daniel 7. In the end time, knowledge will become abundant. The wisdom is going to come out of the mouth of babes. Forget the Pharisees and the reverence of the smart ass. It's going to be from you that your dumb found.
Are you Melchizedek?
Yes, I am.
You are the angel Michael.
Yes, I am.
I spoke with an angel today. So what?
All of you are angels who have fallen from grace. Remember, and we are only sent to testify unto you about the coming of the Messiah, and those who listen and accept him into their lives, they will be transformed back into an angelic state again. All of you are angels, and all of you are sons of God who have fallen from grace. Our job is merely to prepare you, to dress you up like a bride, and prepare you for a groom for the great wedding, what they call Crystal City, will descend out of heaven in New Jerusalem, and you will enter back in the presence of the Heavenly Father, and therein cry no more, suffer no more, feel no more hunger. All the attributes that the devil has subjected you to on earth will be removed from you when you enter back into the sacred city. All of you are angels. So when you say I'm speaking to an angel, so have I. This happened to John when tutoring him through the books of Revelation, and he decided to fall and prostrate and was told, get up, because I am your fellow servant. You understand?
Yes. In Islam, is there a marriage ceremony, or are people just married if they are...
That is a very strict, the very strict marriage ceremony in Islam, the nikah. The actual dowry has to be paid. There has to be contracts drawn up. There has to be family meetings and discussion for genetics. It gets very intense because in Islam, we don't marry just because the person is pretty. We marry by genetics as well. We make sure there's no disease in the father's blood. If my daughter is to marry, I want to make sure that there's no disease in the father's blood or his grandfather's blood, so we inherit it. And this may sound bad, but you keep your bloodline pure by knowing who your children marry. And that's very, very, very important for you women, is not to marry dumb men because they're cute. You better start thinking about what you marry, because what you marry will determine what the intellect of your children are. It is time for us to start breeding mentally. We have stopped breeding mentally. We started breeding physically. People said, he has curly hair or light eyes or light skin, so I'm going to have a baby by him, so I have light skin, curly hair kids. Those days are over. It is now time for you people to start breeding mentally, because the higher the mental capacity, the easier it is for extraterrestrials to communicate with you. People on a low mental capacity, it's very difficult to penetrate that block, that ignorance. But people who are more sensitive spiritually, because they were bred properly, it makes it easier when extraterrestrials are trying to communicate. Because messiahship or Christ is a nature that you all must succumb to. There's great masses or beings called Elohim in the beginning of Genesis. When they say in the beginning was the word, they use the word Elohim. Elohim is a Hebrew word which is Elo in a plural. These Elohim are what they refer to as the we, or the Lord of hosts, the angelic beings. They are overseeing. They come into your plane at different periods of time to interfere with what man is doing to try to coerce him. Those of you who accept the teaching into themselves will be transformed back into, again, angelic beings, and you will witness the heavens. You'll see angelic beings, and you'll travel other galaxies, those of you that can make that height.
Why would we allow ourselves to, why are we in this condition? Why can't what's in us, the inner being, be brought forth, and the greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon us? Our ancestors, these are things that our ancestors did, and we are the children, our children's children.
No, no. Your ancestors, let me correct you, your ancestors were also being visited by beings to try to help them, because in the realm that they were in, they had their degree of devilishment also. You follow Lot. Don't forget Lot turned against Abraham and went down to Sodom and Gomorrah because he thought it was a better place to be. So he turned against the village of peace and went into the city of New York, to the village, in a figure of speech, and wants to live in the village with those kind of people. It's been going on for a long period of time. And beings have been trying, but see, what is long to y'all is short to us. What 6,000 years is less than a day to us. The whole information of your whole planet could be absorbed in a couple of minutes by any master. All the information of your whole planet, you're developing rapidly, much more rapidly than you're supposed to. Because you'll find the abundance of beings surrounding this earth plane, trying from different galaxies to keep you from, you people from being destroyed by the cherubim. And we're trying to wake you up soon enough to get you back, but it seems almost impossible. So many people have learned to love the cherubim as opposed to the seraphim.
Can you tell me who Yanin
is? Yanin is an extraterrestrial being who incarnates into the body of Imam Isa to pass on information to you. He is one of the elders, the 19th. He resides in the 8th galaxy of the 19 galaxies. And they do travel by ships, as you would call them, for lack of a better word. And they've been intergalactically traveling and coming to this planet since 11,500 years ago. And Yanun is one of the masters that's been assigned to awake you people up, because you people are a portion of ancient births of the Jabariyans, as you probably don't even know what that means. right? And some of you must be waking up. And the master would come. The master that you saw was called Rama. If you would have gotten a closer look at him, he comes from 4,000 years before Jesus. If you would have got a closer look at him, you would have saw that he had white hair and red eyes. He's a caramel complexion, fairly thin, and his name is Rama. He visits this planet many times. He lives in Shambhala. I don't care how crazy it sounds to you, or one day you'll find out it's true anyway. That in the center of your planet, there is another world in the center. There's subterranean pathways to different chambers in the center of your planet. The pyramids are entrances there, and so are the pyramids out in South America and the Nairobi Desert and out at the Antarctic is the entrance in. And Yadin is one of the masters of the school of the bird. They call him the feathered bird. This is why in South America, when they look over the sky and they see this image of this bird on the ground, that is his school. So certain arriving masters to this plane knew what school they would go to. Each galactical, what do you call it, body had their own school on this planet. Muslims don't realize that throughout the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about angelic beings coming to earth, you have interred them because of Christianity in the 18th century into little white babies with wings. When you're talking about celestial and terrestrial beings or extraterrestrial beings who have been visiting y'all for a long period of time, because some of you are the sons and daughters of extraterrestrials who came here, and you have to be brought back to power to defend this planet against the destruction by Azazel and what they refer to as Lucifer and the other 200 fallen angels, which were, again, extraterrestrial beings who invaded this planet 6,000 or 5,000 some odd years ago and have been ruling and have caused the masters to either hover or to go into the subterranean parts of the planet, and they just come up to either ascend to the earth to teach man, or they will make intergalactical communications, leave and come back. And this is what Elijah saw. This is what Jesus said when he said he was caught up in a whirlwind and the clouds went up. The whirlwind and the clouds is the ship itself. Elijah was taken up in a chariot, and Enoch was translated into heaven by a chariot. It's throughout the scriptures, and three men visited Abraham at his tent, and then one went up, and the other two went on down into Sodom to try to talk Lot and his family into coming out. You know, these stories that you have interpreted in the scriptures strictly as religious dogma because of the translations by the Christian churches, etc., who had no knowledge of extraterrestrials, they have turned this spiritual, the spiritual community of beings who have existed in other galaxies into gods or into angels and gave them a bunch of names that didn't apply to them. And so you just happen to mention one who is very powerful, Yanun, his name is. They say Yanun. It's pronounced Yanun, depending on the dialect of what galaxy you're in, the pronunciation changes. And the one you described was another one called Rama, who's asking you about Yanun because Yanun is assigned to give your answers about the things that you need to know in this time and the time that you've come from to be able to distinguish the 144,000 who would be those extraterrestrial beings, prepare them to create that whirlwind and make that ascension out of this state, which they call the rapture, rising up from the earth while it goes through its turmoil with the Lamb, as they refer to him, which is merely a symbol of a humble being from an extraterrestrial. And why the Quran says, we sent you down to earth. They keep missing it. It says, when there's a turmoil in the garden in heaven, then we cast you down to earth in the Quran. From where? The angels come down. From where? From floating around in the sky. No, they sent you down to Arbuk, which is earth, the blue planet. They sent you here from other galaxies. When you violated the law, intergalactical law, you were cast down here like prisoners. Y'all are away with, as you would call it. I don't know a better word for it. But y'all are in signed to a prison. Earth is a prison that you all are in. And you are people who rebel, who would listen to Satan, as you call him, which was Azazila then, or Tanush. You listen to him, your father, and you've been assigned to earth until you overcome that. Until you turn and give your total reverence to Hua, Allah, Allazi, La ilaha illa Hua. But you incorporate in that, even that when you say Hua, you have to say God, Allah, God, God, Allah. You keep interjecting. You personify him and said he was Master Farad Muhammad or he was Yahweh Ben Yahweh. You always have to do something rather than to just serve the omnipotent source of the Hua. Or where is inside you, the essence of life. So now you've been assigned to this prison, which is called Arzut, the blue rock, earth, until you, which they say, are born again, and born again of what they say, of the body or the spirit? Of the spirit. Y'all must be born again of the spirit. You must be transformed from being this mortal being who is destined to die back to immortality. Your father, you must become a supreme being again in order to be worthy of intergalactical traveling again. So now what has happened, the devil's seed is in the earth, mixing in with the God seed, as you'd have it, and it's keeping you all bound to the planet and creating new dogmas every day, new deviations from the fundamental truth and calling it religions and sects and all different types of denominations, Sunni, Shia, Ahmadiyya, Bilalians, black Muslims, Hindu, Buddhists, and just creating new dogmas to keep you from seeing the straight, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, as they call it, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight way of those who made the pathway through the galaxy. The Sirat al, when they say in the Quran, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin, they're telling you, I want to be guided, and they know they have to fucking. I want to be guided that way. I want to get back out of here. Surat al-Lazina and Amta alayhim. You know what I mean? That surat of those who you have given your grace, Allah Ta'ala. Ghayr al-Mahdubi alayhim wa al-Dhalin. I don't want to be like those people who got the everlasting curse, who's damned to this earth forever. Wa al-Dhalin. Or those who deviated off that path that was leading from Malakut to Nessus and went somewhere else. Or as they translated in modern times, have left the path of Deen al-Islam and went into other denominations of thought. And you deviate from the path of Deen al-Islam when you deviate from the path of Milla Ibrahim, when you deviate from the religion that Allah Ta'ala prayed to the Prophet Adam, which was the way you should work your way back to Jannah to Idris. Back out of this plane and back into Malakut, the domain of angelic beings from which most of you have come. But some people here have made an everlasting pact with Azazila, Azazila or Tanush, this being who ruled and who tried to overthrow Mikael in Malakut prior to the birth of your planet. As a result of that, was cast down. Some mortals have come to him and begin to worship him in a subtle kind of way. One of his names is God. And they've taken and called Allah God and Jehovah God and Il-Akhra, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You follow? But you just happen to touch on a very sensitive subject. And y'all, I am here to try to bring y'all back to that teaching. But I got to start with what you understand. I got to start giving you what you think you want so you learn how to think on the level of what I have to give or what you know you need. But I can't start by pouring out. I've been teaching for 20 years on earth, in and out, visiting in and out of here. Different beings speak to you at different times through me. Different kinds answer all of your questions to prepare you for the real knowledge, the real information that you have to have after you get through wobbling in how great you are and how you got here and how you're Abraham and you're Peter and you're this. When you finish all that ego tripping, then I can get down to teaching you the truth about things and prepare those who are supposed to leave here to prepare so when the ship does come, they can go. You follow? And I know that sounds crazy, but he wants to make me sound crazy. That's why he made movies like Star Trek, because he knew this knowledge. The devil, Iblis, he knows these things. And that's why he saturates the television with a bunch of things like fiction, so that when the final truth comes, I say, your whole concept of religion in the Bible is wrong. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're talking about intergalactical beings. You're not talking about angels. You're talking about the ultimate source of all existence. You're not talking about God and Jehovah. Those are just expressions. When you say Allah, you're saying Elohua, Yahoo, oh, he who is. And you cannot define him while still confined to this prison called the physical body. It's amazing. This is amazing to me to hear people from this planet asking questions about such intricate things. It is really amazing. You don't even hear yourself. That's what's so funny. You don't even hear yourself. You hear yourself talk to me, but you don't even understand half the things you're asking. And it's amazing to find that just spiritual people here are beginning to wake up. It is not about a water religion. You know what I mean by a water religion? When they dip you in some water and say you're baptized, or go to Mecca and then say I'm a Muslim, where it's just a physical aspect of the deed, it's amazing that y'all are now probing into the esoteric part of your existence and trying to get a better understanding of the real you and not the synthetic you that you call your body. It's a wonderful day.
Yo, Hadi. I want to ask a question.
First of all, wait, let me correct him. El Hadi is my father's name.
Hey, Mom.
Okay.
What is meant lately? I've been getting the flash in front of me, the white fog, like I'll be standing or I'll be in a certain place and I'll see a white mist. A mist, yeah. How do you know that?
Because I know what it is.
A mist in front of me and it just comes and it stays there for a second. Then it'll go. Then I can move and I'll go to another place and my mind is being. You know, I don't be thinking about anything in particular. All of a sudden, it flashed in front of me, but I can't really, you know, figure out.
You haven't had, see. The thing is, you're looking at beings who are here in the Earth's atmosphere, trying to reverse the negative flow of current that's here. Okay? You can't assimilate them because you haven't developed the inner body. You're developing, but you have not developed the inner part of you to be able to focus on them and take shape the way you do physical things. Meaning, human beings are under the impression that when they look at something, they really see it, and they don't.
But the other thing was, if you are a spiritual being, then what is your purpose here?
Mine?
Yeah, yours and any other.
Well, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher who comes to get my students and prepare y'all for the war. We've had several wars against Azazel's people before, and we've won. And every time they went somewhere else and colonized. Now they've colonized here, and they've gotten you. I've got to come and separate you from them and turn you back into spiritual people so we can conquer him, which is whom you all call Satan, and prepare you all to go back to Malakut. Malakut, what you think? What is that? There's three domains, and then there's lower and above. Nefsut, Malakut, and Lahut going up. Nefsut is the abode of Humain, which is what y'all are, the ones on earth. Malakut is the abode of Malaik, angelic beings, as you call them. And Lahut is the throne of the omnipotent with the seven veils. You follow? Solid, liquid, and gas,
okay.
You're in solid. Mm-hmm. The angels are in liquid, mm-hmm. And the Almighty is in a form of gas.
Okay.
All right? Now, the liquid can become vaporized into gas or hardened into a solid. Now, I'm here to turn the solid back into a vapor, into a liquid, and then back into a gas. You follow? But they're so intermingled with the mortals here, it's hard to define who's who anymore. They're so well trained to act like the devil and live like him and want like him and love like him and lust like him, and it was hard to find the good ones from the bad ones. Now, it's quite a confusing job when you meet people. You think they're spiritual beings. You start teaching them, and they're really physical, nothing but physical, total physical, and it becomes bewildering.
How would I know for myself?
You do know it for yourself. You already know if you're a spiritual being because you're not content here. When you look up at the sky, you get to stare. When they discuss UFOs, it doesn't frighten you. You want to be picked up by them. It's a different. Other people say, not me, I'm not going to look for a football. But then there's another people that say, why don't I see them? You even look up at night out your window and say, why can't I see one? When I take in the congregation from this community, I said, you want me to prove you that they exist? I took hundreds of them to the mountain and said, now watch, they're going to come from that direction. And I called them and they came. And they hold it above them. They saw with their own eyes. But they can call anybody crazy if they want. As long as I got company in this family, I feel good. But they saw with their own eyes the ship. And I told them what to chant, and they chanted, and the ship came close, beamed light, and took off. I said, those people are waiting to take you. That was it. That's my job. And you have got to accept it before he realizes how dangerous I am, and then I'll have to leave.
Is it true that we are able to capture the devil if by acting righteously and being more positive, we would lure him into a trap?
Yes, that's the only way to defeat the devil is to trap him. You won't destroy him because he's an angel. You can trap him. And the bait is your righteousness, not your imitation of righteousness or portrayal of righteousness, but sincere righteousness. He is attracted to this city that we're trying to set up of peace. He has no need of the waste and the speed because he controls them. They don't realize it, whether they call themselves Muslims or not. They just don't know he controls them because they don't know who he is. They don't know his approach. Right? What he cannot, what he was never able to do, is in the time of the prophet Nabi Musa, alayhi salam, Moses, had set up an ark of the tabernacle. And that's the thing the devil wanted to get. And that's why they had cherubim. Two cherubim with folded wings on the ark of the tabernacle. It was the cherubims who, after the fall, became aiders of the seraphim, became protectors against their own host, the flaming sword, as they call it, which you're using your medical symbol. All right? So, yes, the only way is to capture him and bind him, but he's attracted to righteousness. He knows that he has the world. He has everybody that you basically see on a day-to-day basis under his control who have their own opinions without any points. They have their own philosophy, what they think the truth is without any real knowledge. I've come to find out, especially Americans, Caribbeans, people like that, when you talk to them, they got all this philosophy and you ask them, "Ey logata," Tamanafi. In which language do you get this meaning? The devil's language, English. They interpret from the translation of the Yusuf Ali Quran or the King James Bible, and they'll come in and quote to you as if they found some philosophical truth or some English translation of the Kabbalah or the Kabbalah, you know, something some devil wrote, and here they got this new divine interpretation flowing to them, and they justify by saying, it's not what language, it's what's in your heart, etc., etc. The devil loves all of that. He loves all those philosophers and those teachers and those scholars, all these imams. He loves these people because these people are just what he wants. This is why we've made, over the years, many predictions that came to pass. Many of them. I mean, unbelievable predictions from a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, and sometimes year-to-year basis that came to pass. And the devil has never made a public spectacle. They're not going to let Imam Isa get in the limelight, because they know that if I sat on a podium, they couldn't bring nobody, be he Jew, Christian, atheist, against me to stand against the truth. Because they proofread the books. And by reading the pamphlets the same way you do, they're saying, this man here is dangerous. Or to attack them verbally and make him have to go before a council and defend himself, he'll make us look stupid. They know I can get up and make them look stupid, so they can't have that. You follow? So he, the devil, is deeply attracted by our community, the people inside, not the people outside, who tell people they're with us, but they're not with us. They're not inside the gates of the tabernacle, and they're not with us. I don't care how much they say they're Ansari. They don't have the blessings of the silsila of the prophet or the Mahdi, because they have not picked up the cross and suffered with us. It's like people say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but they're saying they're following Jesus from another city. I follow Jesus, but they won't travel to the city and sit down and sup with him and break bread, because they can't get along with each other. I don't like this brother. I don't like this person. I don't like this. I can't live like this. I can't eat this. And all of these same people say in the back of their mind, if I could only get to the mystical schools and study in the pyramids and learn the esoteric knowledge, and then they're worried about how much butter they have on their bread. Same person in the same breath who's professing to be so mystically inclined and so interested in the esoteric knowledge of Islam can't even suffer living amongst a bunch of brothers and sisters of his own. So it's a bunch of hypocrisy. So the devil's greatest strength and asset is, A, that people don't know who he is, and he doesn't have to make an attempt to get black people because they go right to him and give their souls to him by imitating him and emulating him and dressing like him and working for him and living in his way of life. So the devil don't need to tempt you people. You're just giving yourselves right to him. Only time you're going to defeat the devil is when you defeat everything he stands for, turn against everything he's about. And then, like Job, if you read it, he'll turn his attention to you. Because then the Lord can say, like in Job, yeah, the devil said, I'm walking to and fro in the earth in Job 1. And what does the Lord say? Have you considered my serving?
Yes, I have one more part to that question. And that is, if we are able to capture the devil by being more righteous and trying to practice being more positive, then is it going to prolong the time that we have to try to get the mission that we have to do here together?
The moment the devil is captured, don't you realize that the souls and the minds of everybody in the world would change? Because what the devil has going for him is that he's into the souls and the minds of everybody in the world, coercing them into his way. The moment the devil is trapped, like when Solomon trapped the devil, his kingdom flourished. The moment the devil got loosed, Solomon's temple was destroyed. You understand? The moment the devil is captured, there is no more mission. That is the ultimate mission.
I know there's 19 other galaxies, and some planets have been destroyed, but how do they...
Wait a minute. There's 19 galaxies in Theta.
What's that?
Theta is where Yannin comes from. There's Zeta, Theta, Alpha, Beta. These are Greek names that were given to the different star formations in other galaxies. There's 19 galaxies within the star formation of where Yanun comes from.
Oh,
and he just happened to come from the eighth planet called Risk of a three-sun galaxy, which is one of the 19. When you get into Zeta, or what they call Zeta 1, right, that's another star formation, and they have many galaxies there. Okay? It's much more complicated than
much more complicated.
Just that, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, what do extraterrestrials look like? I mean, you see these on television, you see little green-eyed monsters, but do they actually look like that or really more like us?
I understand what you're saying. Are you with me? Let me explain something to you about that extraterrestrial thing.
Uh-huh.
When an extraterrestrial visits Terra, Terra is one of the names of the planet Earth used by extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
The project planet Earth is called Urenda, if you ever get a chance to remember. And Jesus, by the way, is on a starship. And his starship name is Sanender. Okay? He's not called Jesus or the Messiah. He's called Sanender. But let me go on. If an extraterrestrial ship, as you call them, comes into the earth and lands, correct?
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, and he lands in a jungle, and he encounters a lion, what do you think he'll think? That's an earthling.
What?
He'll think that the lion is an earthling.
Yeah.
If he goes beneath the earth into the sea, like the Vol-Tec do, when they come here, they go under the sea. What will he think when he sees under the sea? He'll think those are earthlings. See, what's wrong with people on the planet Earth? They tend to think that they're the only earthlings. We are the human beings. We are the rulers of the planet Earth. When in reality, every living creature from insect to ant, the bacteria, is an earthling. And therefore, different forms of extraterrestrials, depending on the ladder of their intellect and existence, come to Earth. There are bacteria that come to visit bacteria. they are humanoids that come here. The ones that frequent the planet Earth the most, right, Orangians, are what they refer to as the little people. They frequent most here, and that's because back in 1947, one of their ships crashed here because of a storm, and they worked off electricity, magnets. And when they came back to recover the bodies of the wreck, they encountered certain American officials, Truman in particular, who all they asked for was the bodies and the remainings of the wreckage to take back, and he made a, and they made him make a bargain with them to give them certain diseases and certain formulas like energy equals mass times the speed of light, and your formula of splitting atoms for the atomic bomb, which they told the extraterrestrials they were going to use for something good, but in turn used for something evil. And they didn't return all of the bodies, and they didn't return all of the wreckage, so the extraterrestrials, through what it called telepathy, put Truman out of his misery, and Eisenhower picked it up. Eisenhower came into office, and he became the one who was a negotiator for a certain project whose name I won't mention. And he became a communicator between the extraterrestrials then. You follow that?
Yeah, follow.
And he also betrayed them. They gave y'all the cure for cerebral palsy. They gave y'all the cure for polio. They gave y'all the vaccine for cholera and for malaria. And they would have given you the cure for cancer and all the other diseases, but they betrayed these beings and killed them, the ones who visited. And so then they other beings came from other galaxies, because it's an interplanetary thing, of other galaxies who came here from other forms of life, for lack of a better word, to assist these the little people who are really just scientists. It is different formations of stars. Some beings come here as scientists. They're more apt to take you up on a ship and examine you, to find out how your organs work, find out how your brain works, because mortals on Earth are only using a fraction of their brain. Certain planets where the people have evolved for millions and millions of years, they use their whole brain. And human beings, for some reason, have stopped. As you were evolving in the beginning of your time, thousands of years ago, you were becoming smarter and beginning to use more of your brain, and that was giving you more psychic powers. But wicked extraterrestrials have taught human beings how to use computers, which made their brain stop developing. And if you don't develop your brain, you're going to cut off your psychic power, and y'all won't have telepathy and all of the powers necessary for communicating with extraterrestrials. So now you're doing everything on computers, and you stop developing the brain. So the extraterrestrials are concerned, but you're so fascinated with the computers and how fast it gets things done that they can't convince you that thousands of years are being lost because human beings are not calculating with their hands and not developing their minds and not studying things from an esoteric standpoint of view, but they're looking at everything from a monetary and physical standpoint of view. So they foresee that planet Earth is about to destroy itself because man has gotten more sophisticated with his technology than he has in his spiritual powers. So they sent the Quran, they sent the Torah, they sent the Injil. They, through telepathy, have communicated with certain mortals like Muhammad and Zoroastrian and Buddha and Musa and Esau. Esau is a different creature because he was caught between two worlds, and communicated with them and tried to send down this information so that they can teach you and get you developed spiritually for when the mothership comes, which you read in Revelation 21 as the crystal city that Jesus said would come out of heaven with the 24 elders, which Ezekiel saw. But you're not ready for it. You're caught up in the physical things and the luxuries of the world, and you're being persuaded by the cherubim to lean towards the darker side of things instead of by the seraphim to lean towards the lighter side. So to answer your question, many different types of beings are coming to this planet. The most important visitation was around 1947, after you bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because you almost, through atoms, split your planet. And if you would have split your planet, you would have interfered with things that are being done in the center of the planet in a place called Wahala and Shambhala. So the extraterrestrials started sending people from the vortex that went into the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle, which opens up 19 times a year. You understand that? It opens the way to a fourth generation. And they come in, the vortex are beings from the same galaxy as the little people, but they live underwater as opposed to on land. And they come here when they're living under the sea here in the Atlantic Ocean and different places, and they have empires there. And everybody is working to keep you from destroying the planet so y'all can develop. The only thing that cannot be done is they cannot interfere with the natural course of your planet, because it'll be thrown into a star holocaust, meaning the magnetic field of the planet will be reduced, which y'all are doing anyway by removing the ozone layer. and we're trying to figure out any way we possibly can to re-knit the ozone layer, because if the ozone layer is moving, also by the waves coming, you have 10 years before your planet will be destroyed. So as the church is doing everything in their power to keep you from destroying yourself, and the cherubims are here in the form of human beings, and y'all just don't see them, they're white people, and they're doing everything in their power to destroy you. Let me give you a little cue. If the man says driving 55 miles an hour, and he makes a car that does 260. Don't smoke cigarettes, and they got cigarette commercials. Alcohol will kill you, and they got alcohol commercials. Drugs will kill you, and they import drugs in the country. You can't even smuggle a piece of jewelry in from South America, but they can't stop hundreds of pounds of drugs. There's obviously an inward conspiracy for human beings to destroy themselves out of their ignorance. And extraterrestrials are not allowed to intervene. They can only suggest or through telepathy or influence certain human beings to make them react certain ways or just incarnate and teach, like in my case. I was assigned here to teach you to try to raise your consciousness so that when the ship comes, you'll be ready. But I'm having such a hard time because you don't believe nothing I say because I'm not white. You believe the cherubims and everything they teach. If the white man came on today and said, I made all of this up, you always believe it. With all the facts that I taught and every scripture and every verification, you still say, I knew there was something wrong with him all the time. That easy. The same way Malcolm X was easily influenced by the cherubim to turn against Elijah Muhammad. It's that easy. And that's holding y'all back. You have got to get back into using your calculus ability. You've got to get back into using your psychic powers. You people have psychic powers. How many times have you thought about calling somebody and you picked up the phone and they were there? How many times have you thought about seeing a friend that you haven't seen and turned the corner and they were standing there? How many times have you walked up on a person and said, I know this person, I don't know from where? These are people you know in your spiritual life. Some of you people know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all think I'm nuts. Some of you people have had extraterrestrial communication. Some of you people have had extraterrestrial dreams and visions. Some of you people know that you don't belong on this plane. And other people don't know it. Some of y'all are mortals, and some of y'all are supreme beings. And the ones in there that are supreme beings inside, they know what I'm saying is true. They don't know how to get back because they've fallen so far, but they know there's something not normal about the way they feel and the way things happen to them and the way life is set up around them. And they know that people are out to hurt them and situations always work against them. When they try to tell people, people say, oh, you're just paranoid. When you go to get a job and they pick the other person standing next to you and you say, dang, these people just don't like me. Then you go home and say, that's just paranoia. There's no paranoia. The devil knows who you are. And he sees it in your eyes even where you can't see it. And he's out to stop you. He will block everything you want to do. He'll make your life totally miserable. When there's five people to get picked into college, you'll have the highest credentials and you won't be the one to pick. You understand? When the bus gets away, when you're coming out of seat, the bus is pulled off. Everybody else catches the bus. The bus gets away from you. You understand down there? You get down there, someone says, boy, the train just left. I'm sorry, that was our last pair of green shoes. And then you don't realize that this has been happening to you your whole life. Then you sit back and say, why does everything always happen to me? That's because you are a visitor. You understand? You're a seed of the elders and you're lost here. And you better wake up soon. Because if the devil opens up the door against you, he's not going to show no mercy.
If you don't know what a light bulb is and you see the coil inside of it illuminated. And to date, they have found hieroglyphs on the walls in Egypt showing pharaohs actually holding a light bulb, proving that it existed. So Moses went up into the mountains of Sin, where the god Sin's cult was, and there he encountered the Neteru, who the Egyptians referred to, who the Israelites referred to as the Elohim, or the Muslims referred to as the Allahumma, right? He went up there and he encountered these beings sitting there, or men from Egypt, writing the book of the coming forth by day, translating it into hieratics. That's the script of ancient Egypt, as opposed to hieroglyphics, which is a pictorial script. And Moses asked these men for a portion of that book to guide his lost people. They told him the people would have to be Egyptian. And Moses told them they are Egyptian. They were born in Egypt. They came out of the land of Canaan and dwelt in Egypt for over 400 years. And they spoke hieratic, the Egyptian language. They didn't speak Hebrew any longer. You follow that? So the deity responsible for recording doctrine, his name was Thoth, or Thoth, or his real name is called Tohuti. They always portray him with a long beak. You'll see him on our road of deities. That long beak is supposed to be a symbol of the quill, or the pen that writes, because he was the master scribe. And he, with his hand, carved a certain amount of the commandments of the Egyptian Book of the Dead and gave it to Moses to give to his people. You follow? That's called the Torah now. Now, the reason why I say it now, because if you go into the books of Genesis in Abraham's time, and it says, and Abraham lived by my commandments and my law, if you look inside the Tanakh, or Torah in Hebrew there, you'll find the word Torah. So there was a Torah in Abraham's time from the Chaldeans that the Israelites copied it from. And the Chaldeans are Sumerians. Now, the Muslim world and the Christian world are not conscious because they don't read the Hebrew. They only read the Arabic or the Greek or the Latin, that the word Torah or Tanakh is in the Torah before Moses was born. Thus, that law existed in Abraham's time. And Abraham got educated in two ways. One by a man named Melchizedek, and the other down in Egypt, where he presented himself as a liar and a coward before the Pharaohs, as we mentioned last week, being willing to give his wife over and say she's his sister. But obviously, those Egyptians that he encountered were already advanced in knowledge. They already had an empire set up. They already had an educational system, alchemy, algebra, already there in place. And Abraham got a portion of that, became his soul. And then Moses eventually got a portion of it, and it became his Torah from the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Jesus got a portion of it, taught it to his disciples, and it became their Bible, the gospel. All of it was based around the God Amun. Thus, Muslims, Christians, and Jews end their prayer with praise Amun by saying Amen or Amin. And then they'll tell you in Islam, well, Amun comes from the root word Amana, where they get the word Mu'min, which they say means to be faithful, to be loyal. But that's what Amun was, loyal to the Enad of ancient Egypt, which gave him the title Amun. You follow? And then later, Ra, the sun deity, was combined and became Amun Ra. But in that family of gods or deities that Moses confronted, other than Tohuti, they also had to come into Ra, Amun, but who else? Osiris, Usir. And he was the god of hell, the underworld, you see. But his brother wanted it set. Thus, his brother became the god of underworld. And this is why to this very day you say the sun sets, S-E-T, when it goes down and darkness covers the world. And darkness is ignorance and darkness is that. This is where it comes from, set. And they portrayed set as a black dog, the jackal dog of death also. You got it? All right. Under Osiris was his wife, Aset, called Usir, the blessed mother of the gods. You see? When Set betrayed his brother and killed him, Osiris, she was left without a child. You hear it? Now you can hear the combination of the Sarah and Abraham story. But Sarah wanted a child, and Hagar had got Ishmael, and there was no one to pass the covenant to. You hear me? So they prayed to Yahweh, Elohim, that they may have a son, and eventually they got the son, Isaac, Yitzhak, or Ishak. Okay? Now, in this same story in amongst them, Isis has no son, Osiris, the highest god at the time, the direct descendant of Ra from the sky, is sunless. So she seeks out the body of Osiris, finds his phallic his penis, and it becomes the tower of light in all religions. Let me come so I can speak to you. Right? It becomes the tower of light in all religions, the penis. In the Catholic churches and the Christian churches, they have these tall cathedrals. You see? In the mosque, they have the minaret, tall minarets. And the lighthouse, the great library of Alexandria, Iskandaria, we say, in Egypt, is marked by having the largest lighthouse in the world. And the light was supposed to symbolize the semen, or the light, like they put in the book of St. John, chapter 1. They say the light is the what? The light is the life in man, the Bible says. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And all men on earth and women came by way of this life and this light. So all religions, even today, have taken the ancient Egyptian symbol of the obelisk, which is the penis of God Osiris. You hear me? And she, Isis, symbolically mounted this obelisk and did what? Impregnated herself without the aid of a man. You hear me? According to ancient Egyptian writings, which predate the writings of Christianity and Judaism, Osiris's seed was put into Isis. How? How did it happen? Scientifically, we say artificial insemination. The reality of it is, they're speaking about, in a subtle kind of way, the immaculate conception, because no man was there. Do we find that story somewhere else? Yes, we do. We find that story in the New Testament twice. We find it not only with Mary, the way people push it, but we also find it with Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, the mother of John the Baptist, also was visited by an unearthly being called an angel, because her husband, Zachariah, was also too old to conceive, like who? Abraham was too old. And Sarah said, I'm old and barren, I can't have children. And they said, don't worry about it. So the obelisk needle, symbol of the penis, became the point from which religious groups of modern day Muslims and Jews call on their followers. The Muslims get up there in the minaret, put a finger behind their ear, and yell out, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the biggest, the most, the oldest. They say the greatest, but the translation is really Akbar, means biggest or oldest. Kabir. The Christians do the same thing, but they have a big bell up there in the cathedral tower, and they ring it, thong, and it means everybody to come to the church, the assembly, or the masjid, prostration place, for prayer to God. But it came from the obelisk of ancient Egypt, the Benben. The ancient name for it was Benben. You know what that means? The same thing grafted in Arabic and Hebrew today. Benben, the son of a son. Ibn Ibn. They say, Ya Bena Yisrael, O children or sons of Israel, do such and such. The name of that thing was Benben, because it symbolized the production of that son, Horus, which in Egypt and heretics was said Har. Har, H-A-R. In the Islamic world, and in the Torah, in the Jewish world, they both agree that both Muhammad and Moshe went up into a Jebel, a mountain, Har. In the Torah, it's there, H-A-R, for the holy mountain. And in Islam, it says Muhammad went up in the year 610 and sat in the Mount of Har. You hear me? Har is short for Horus. They both went up at night after the sun had appeared to have Set after Set had killed Osiris. They changed the name from Usir to Osiris because if the brother wrote Osiris on the board, you'll find that the first letter is a symbol used to this very day as the sun around circle. You hear me? And this Osiris, God, who had a child by his wife who he did not touch sexually, is where you get your immaculate conception, your blessed mother Mary, your Madonna in Latin. You hear me? But to go back from the mountain of light and the obelisk and the minaret and the tower, we go back to the name Horus. And that's why I said, the Hindi say Hare Krishna. You hear the word Hare, Ha, and then Krishna, Christ, Christos, anointed one, Messiah or Messiah. The word Messiah, Messa, believe it or not, is alligator fat in ancient Egypt because they used the alligator fat to make the oil that they anointed the Egyptian messiahs with. So that even the word Messiah and Mashiach is an Egyptian word, Messiah. The word Moses, Musa, or Moshe, be it used by the Latins, the Muslims, or the Jews, is from the Egyptian heretic word, Mos, to be drawn out of the water, simply. He was Thutmose. That was his Egyptian name, Thutmose, because as Mose, he was a student of the god Thut, who was responsible for using his very yod, the Hebrew letter, the smallest letter in the Hebrew language, yod, why you see a lot of Jews, whether they are Hasidic or Sephardim, wearing a little symbol with a yod and a hey. That stands for hand of God. If you visit a synagogue and see them read from the Torah, you will see the Kohen or the rabbi literally take a stick, like a small staff, while another one holds the Torah and has a hand just like this. And he points, he dares not touch with his own hand. He points to the words of the Tanakh and he reads from it. That's the hand that carved the Torah. That was the hand of the Egyptian deity, Sahuti. Or Thoth. Combined, we get Thutmose. You hear me? Who gave them their Torah. Now, they may have forgotten that. But as I said last week, their God never forgot it. Their God sent them Yahweh, who also gets his name from Yahu, or he, and who is also a heretic word for the creative source of will. Not the creative source of life, but the being that gave mortals willpower, self-determination, when men became their own God in Egypt. So Horus, again, identifies with horizon. What is the horizon? The horizon, or the horizontal layer from which the sun appears to come over. And when the sun comes out of the darkness where it has set and comes back to life, it has resurrected back to life. You hear me? It comes over the mountain or over the sea. And people who look at the horizontal planet, apparently, and watch it appear to rise as a scarab pushing it through the sky, they watch the light of it move across the water. And they say the Son of God is walking the water. And if you stood at the horizon and watched the sun come over the water, you could actually see the water, the light, and stand there and the light will come over to you and bring you what? Life. eternal, warmth, growth, because that's what that sun right there brings. Without that sun, there is no life. Without that sun, there is no Jesus. Because even Jesus was marked by a star in the east that the wise men, the magus, followed. And anybody that knows anything about astronomy knows that a star is a sun. All stars are suns. So they were marking the motion of a sun for the birth of a sun. They marked the motion of a S-U-N for the birth of a S-O-N, a son of a sun, a Ben-Ben. When artificial penis was used for the immaculate conception, the son of a son was born. The son of God, they say. But Jesus, to rectify that, as the brother said earlier, made the statement, all of you are God. But Psalms clears it up and says, but children of the Most High. So don't start ego tripping on your God, because the Most High can click off the sun. And if he clicks off the sun, within 48 hours, you're all you gods to be dead. You understand? It goes deeper than that, you see. So Mary is no more than Isis, our mother, our blessed mother Isis, while in Egypt. When we were in Sumeria, she was called Ishtar. And Osiris was our heavenly father. He was our link to Ra, the sun, the life source. And in Sumeria, he was called, what? Damuzi. And Damuzi and Ishtar had a very special son that they called Tammuz. And that's why the Babylonians have on their calendar Tammuz. And the Jews, when they left out of the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebu is a Sumerian word, they carried that title, and it's in the Jewish calendar right now. Tammuz is still on the calendar for that God, that Messiah that the Jews are waiting for. And it tells them in the book of Ezekiel that the women of Israel sat in Jehovah or Yahweh's house and cried for Tammuz, right in the Bible. The Israelite women were crying for a Babylonian god. It tells them that they left the worship of Yahweh and worshiped the god Baal or Baal. Baal Hadad, a Babylonian deity, and that's also in their doctrine. They've turned the word Baal around in Hebrew when referring to Abraham. And right in your Bible, you see Lord. It said, in Abraham, my Lord. In Hebrew, it says, Abraham, my Baal. Hear that? In other words, it started off amongst the Sumerians, moved on over into Egypt, and the languages changed. And as the languages changed, the pronunciation of the name changed. That sounds complicated. Let's do it like this. Isus, Greek, Jesus. Isa, Arabic, Jesus. Yeshua, Hebrew, Jesus. Jesus. You see that? These can all be thought to be different people. But you stopped there because all they gave you in the Western world was the Latin, the Greek, the Arabic, and the Hebrew. You didn't go to the Native Americans and find out what they were calling the Messiah. You didn't go to the Sumerians and find out what they were calling Jesus. You didn't go to the Egyptians to find out what they were calling Jesus. You stopped at the books in English, because that's all you could read, of course, in most cases. You follow? And languages influenced by the Western world, like French and German, they just took the phonetics change it around a little bit for the pronunciation. Jesus is not, Jesus is the Latin. Okay, same thing. Change it around, but that's a Roman influence. Right? Change it around a little bit, and you people are just saying Jesus with a pronunciation or an accent. If you made a person from German, they may pronounce Jesus a little different than you because of the letters in their alphabet. It'll be the same person. Now, why are you forced to stop? And why is it made to look like you're doing the wrong thing here when we say, they say, are you a Christian? I say, sure, I'm a Christian. Isn't everybody? But what do you mean by Christian? Do you mean Christian because of Christos the Greek? I'm not Greek. Do you mean Christ Christian because of Jesus? I'm not a Roman. You see what I'm saying? Do you mean by the Hebrew Yeshua? I am an ancient Israelite. Do you mean by the Ishmaelite version, Esau? I'm an ancient Ishmaelite. Do you mean by the ancient Egyptian way, Horus? I'm an ancient Egyptian. Do you mean by the Sumerian and Chaldean and Babylonian way, Tammuz? I'm an ancient Tammuz, Babylonian, and Chaldean. And I moved because I was a Bedouin, a wanderer. I even inherited the term Arab, because Arab came from the word Araba, to move about. Today, in Arabic, a car is called Arabiya. Arabiya, that's an automobile, or Sayara. But Arabiya is the most common term used for, and it's the same word, Arab, to roam about. Some of us here, based on our features, come from Africa. Some of us come from Europe. Some of us come from South America, Latin America. So if we all was in one place in the planet, Uganda, which to this day anthropologists have proven where real life began, then we all must be Arabs in the sense that we wandered. We all must be Bedouin because we moved regardless of what complexion we are today, those from this planet. Of course, there are visitors here doing their job. And if we wander to different places where we picked up different dialects, then we are going to refer to our Savior in our own dialect. I may prefer to call my Christ Hod. I may prefer to call my Mary Isis or Asit. And I may prefer to call my Father who art in the Orion skies, and if you looked at the map of the Dendora astrological chart by Hathor Temple, you'll find that they had logged the astrology signs, but they didn't use the ones, the zodiac meaning animals, they had called Dendora. You follow? And Osiris is there, a man with three stars at his belt, referred to as Kisil, or the Orion belt, where the three great pyramids of Giza, and they line directly up with them. You hear me? So Tammuz, or Horus, who you love to call Jesus, which is all right with me, because that's the language you speak, and it's in your culture. Why is it mine all right with you? But let's keep moving. But Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. He did not say, our Father who rules the heavens. He did not say that. He said, our Father who is in the heavens. You understand? And that made a kind of a statement to a man or a woman who's thinking. Because he didn't say he was the omnipresent. See? He made himself a meager point in space and time by placing himself inside, not as heaven. You see? So the very statement, our Father, Jesus said, pray this way in Matthew chapter 6, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, was a subtle confession that the Father he was talking about was in a heaven. He was not the heaven. He wasn't the whole thing. And then when you go back to the doctrine that predates Jesus' doctrine, which is the ancient Egyptian doctrine, and why is it so important? Like I say many times, because the God of Jesus sent messengers of his own to the stepfather, Joseph, of Jesus when there was doubt about the safety and well-being of his only begotten son to them. Because he was born in a time where a wicked ruler named Herod wanted to kill the firstborn of the house of Israel to make sure that that king, see, because the Magus or Magi said, we heard that what was born? A king. They didn't say a Messiah. They didn't say a Christos. They said a king, a Melech. And Herod was worried about that because he was the, if they would have said a priest, it might not have bothered Herod. He would have said, well, send him to me so he can become my priest. But no, he wants my throne. And so I will kill all of the Israelites to get to this one king that y'all think is so great that you came from Persia and you came from Arabia. Y'all traveled all the way across the world to see some kid in my kingdom and didn't see me first. You hear me? Disrespect. That's what he felt. So Herod wanted this kid dead. You hear me? And don't be upset. Just be set. God must have known that he... That's a very heck of a statement to say God couldn't do a thing. God must have felt he couldn't stop Herod by snapping his fingers or waving his hand. Why? Because if he could have stopped Herod by merely snapping his finger or waving his hand or making an earthquake in the land or floods or famine or pestilence that would give Herod something else to do rather than concentrate on this little boy, he would have did it. God's only approach was, take my son and hide him in Egypt until what? Until Herod died. The God of our ancestors made people die and made people live. And that's why he could send his messengers to Sarah, who was long past childbearing, and say, don't worry about it, because we got connection with the Heavenly One. Next week, next year, when I come back around, you'll have a son. Did you have one? So he controlled life. Also, that same God in that same time told Lot, don't worry about it. I'm going down to the land of Sodom, and I'm going to wipe their asses out. Just like that. And he went down to Sodom, and he did what? Now that God, who it says in the Bible, in Genesis, said, I'm going down there. Let me, come on, let's get, let him back. He said, let us go down to earth and see what those earthlings are doing. He was in heaven. Because if he was heaven, all of heaven would have came down with him. He said, let us, a group of us, go down to earth and see what those mortals are up to. He came down here. And he didn't like what he saw, so he confounded or dumbfounded the tongue, said what they say. Ain't that what they teach? Now that God also had another limit. Bear with me. Be patient. You might not like what I have to say, but truth is truth. Why did he have to come down to see it? Why couldn't he have saw it from where he was at? Who were those beings moving with him? How much power did they have? He said, come on, y'all, let's go on down there so that we could see what the humans are doing. They got here and saw the humans was messing everything up and had the power to turn a language into dialect. And this God, bear with me again, don't get mad, he didn't set out to set the record straight for the better. He said, let's make them confused. Shouldn't have been the other way around. Shouldn't he said, let me unconfuse them, set the record straight, show them I'm the man, or do a Sodom and Gomorrah on them. These gods of your Bible don't have the kind of power that the Christian preachers and the Muslim imams and the Jewish rabbis are teaching you. These gods are limited to what they can and cannot do. You don't want to believe that because you'll be stepping on your own faith. But it just happens to be truth. The God that gave birth to Jesus through Mary did not have the power to kill Herod. Unless you have a different Bible than we read. And you may, because people are making them up every day. But from what I can see and what I have read, he told them, Joseph, take your wife Mary and the baby and go hide in while you come to us. Why you come to us? We are dog worshipers and idol worshipers and pagans as they may. Why you bringing your, why you send your son to me? Right? It's only, or it's unique now that they modernize it. Why did God trust us? You know why? Because that God had a previous experience with the Egyptian God. With Moses. But that God, that good God Jehovah, he sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt with some magic power. And they were going to take their God on their back and the strength of their God and take the staff that Moses leaned on. Aaron took it. Go back and read Exodus. It wasn't Moses like the preacher told you. Aaron took it and threw it down. And it became a snake. You see? That was obviously what that God thought was good magic. Let me add something. He also must not have known what was in the head of Pharaoh. Because if he knew what was in the head and in the heart of the Pharaoh, he would have knew that the Pharaoh's men had the same magic. He didn't know. So Pharaoh said, yo, Rodney, come a couple of y'all, not one of y'all, a couple of y'all, come on out here and do this David Copperfield thing for God, for Moses. This is in your Bible now. You hear me? And the Pharaoh's men did the same thing, turned their staffs into snakes. Then they said, but Moses' staff ate them up. Fine. But why didn't your God know that Pharaoh's men, not God, had the same power? Why didn't he know this if he knows anything? I'll tell you what you better learn to know. You better learn to know that there's no God looking out for you. That's crap. That's why our relatives are still dying in hospitals sick. Preachers are dying. Just this morning, they're talking about a church that couldn't have services on the news because it got burnt up. How it got burnt up? Chimney men cleaning the chimney ignited a bird's nest. Turn on the news and listen to it tonight, CNN. You think I'm lying? Ignited a bird's nest and burnt the church down. You hear me? In Selma, during Dr. Martin Luther King's time, some angry KKK men blew up a church with kids in it. With kids in it. Right or wrong? Am I making this up? I ain't making this up. This is real. Let's go back 5 months ago. All over Georgia. We had over 12 churches burned to the ground by malicious demonic, devils, whatever you want to call them. That's not the point. You got to watch how they hook your mind up. That ain't the point. Well, the evil did it. How did evil get a chance to burn down God's house? Where the heck was God? And then would you let people come in and burn your house if you were watching? If you could stop it? And are you in the image and after the likeness of God? So why? Why was God set back like this here and watched them burn his house? Not once, but repeatedly. Remember those fires? Now the congregation has no place to assemble. Y'all better wake up. Catch the real deal. You're sitting around waiting for nothing. You're waiting for something to happen that ain't gonna never happen. You are a believer. You have no facts, no confirmed. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There was an appointed time for Jesus to die? Exactly. Was it? Was Jesus born to die on the cross for your sins? Yes or no? According to Christianity, yes, he was. That he was supposed to grow up, get baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, right? And then become a willing sacrifice, willing to sacrifice his life for all of us that we may be saved, right? Ain't that what they teach us? Ain't no lie. I ain't lying to you. Not my job. Love, my job is to set the record straight before the great and dreadful day comes. Because they got us worshiping the wrong Jesus and the wrong God. When our God comes in, we're going to know him. They got us so messed up in the head. You hear me? He was supposed to die on the cross and resurrect for you as a sign of his power and his glory and his greatness. That's what they teach. Question comes up again. You with me? The question comes up. If Jesus was supposed to die at 33 years old on the cross, and God knew it, then why was he running from Herod? Why did he have to leave Jerusalem as a child? Because if destiny said that he was going to die on the cross at 33, and God knew this, and the angels knew it, then Herod couldn't have touched a hair on Jesus' head. Couldn't have touched him. Because destiny would have said, regardless of what Herod did, Jesus was supposed to die at 33. And we know that's the reality. You know how we know that's the reality? At least I can confirm it. I don't know about you, but I'm into right knowledge. I got my personal facts, and I got people in my family and friends that can confirm it. I had a friend named Huey. You know what I'm saying? My buddies, we played ball together. We partied together. Huey. He was my sister's boyfriend. Remember the name, Huey. He lived on the sixth floor in a project. You understand? I used to come there every weekend. And we used to hang out from New Jersey. He used to drink abundantly. Basically, he used to get funky drunk. They cut the crap. Huey fell out of a six-story window in the Marcy Project in Brooklyn. Six stories. Nigga hit the ground, bounced. No, he hit bushes. There's a little help there. He hit them bushes to be around the wall, about this high, which should have scratched everybody. Six stories, hit the ground, got up. He had some bruises from the bushes. This is a true story, I'm telling you. You can have my mother be here saving the corner and after. If I lie, my mother's too old to lie to. She ain't got the time. Only she got time for a prepare where she going next. Got up. Walked away. We was like, damn, you. Serious. I was like, how am I doing? How'd you do that? That was a great day to us. We was happy. Because as he was coming down, you know what we were thinking? Pizza. A mess. Didn't break a bone in his body. 3 months later, while standing on the stoop of the same building, which is no higher than that. He fell over and broke his neck and died. This is true. I mean, I may sound crazy, but you ask anybody that's been to Vietnam, how many friends of theirs made it out of Vietnam and then got back here and got shot on the street or stabbed on by some punks trying to rob him. Nigga made it through the jungle. Made it through guerrilla warfare. Got back to Atlanta and two punks on his watch and stabbed him to death. That's how God works. God don't be giving you no list of what he gonna do. You just look around and it's done and you got to deal with it. Whether you like it or not. As long as it's the next door neighbor's son that dies, it's just But if it's your son, it's, oh my God, why? Oh Lord. God don't give no list. But you Christians claim that God made a list when it comes to Jesus, that Jesus was supposed to die at 33 years old on a cross, resurrect from that cross for our sins, and that we all should be saved because Jesus came to give us everlasting life. I don't know nobody yet with it. He's been gone 2,000 years. Everybody knows still dying their ass off. I ain't seen nobody everlasting life. I wasn't in the spirit. Jesus was in the body. So why would he have to die in the body to make a message for my spirit? The bottom line is, think again and work with it and talk to people who think they know. If he was supposed to die at 33 on the cross, why did he have to run from Herod? Why was he ducking Nazareth when he came out the synagogue? Why was he running from them? They chased him. Why was he reluctant to go to that feast? Because he knew there were Jews and the Pharisees were there waiting to kill him. But yet, later on, he knew exactly when he was going to die. So, oh, don't worry, the hour has not come yet. When you make the statement, the hour has not come yet, then it must have been a set time, a set hour. Right? So why would they run? Or did the angel make the story up? Was the angel an undercover Egyptian trying to get Jesus to Egypt? What was the angel's point of lying? You hear me? They lied. They lied repeatedly. All those stories are our ancient stories as Egyptians. If you're looking for your Jesus, he is the son of Isis Horus. And the Jewish scholars know it. And the Muslim scholars know it. I speak both the languages, Arabic and Hebrew, and it's right in their text, they know it. Freemasons get to know it if they stay on that road long enough. They get to find out it all happened in Egypt. The Rosicrucians call themselves Rosicrucians, Rose and the Cross, but their whole fraternity is based on Egyptian studies. Why? Why the Egyptian shrine? Why are they the daughters of Isis after they become an Eastern star and they travel further up the path? How do they become a daughter of Isis? Why Isis? Why not a daughter of Athena? A Greek deity or a Roman deity? Why are you in Egypt? Why is Plato talking about Egypt? Right? Why is Washington constructed like Egypt? Capital. The capital. The capstone of the pyramid. Whip out a dollar bill, somebody. Anybody. Can you do it? I know y'all got a dollar bill now. Thank you. I will give it back if you watch me. Thank you. That should change. Pyramid. Middle fire. Pyramid. What it means. The middle fire. The solar plex. Solar plex. Soul. What is soul? sun, solar plex, where it is a central sun, and they show you Jesus with a heart, putting his hand like this and holding his other fingers up like this, pointing at the heart, the sacred heart that the Knights of Columbus, who become Alhambra, who become Egyptologists for the Catholic Church, and the light is around it. They put a sun, a circle of Osiris, around Jesus' head and call it a halo. A halo for Heliopolis. Heliopolis, halo. You know what? In Egypt today, the airport, the airport is in Heliopolis, where the planes come in and land. As you can see, they say the Netiru came to the city of light, Heliopolis. Halo around Mary. Halo around Jesus. Halo around. Now you look at the churches and you see the cross with a circle around it. What's that sun doing there? They don't have the S-O-N on the cross no more. They have the S-U-N on the cross right in your church. You look right up there, you see a cross and a round circle, sometimes with light. You go to the cathedral, you see a big window shaped like a penis, like that, obelisk needle. A cathedral window, they call it. And a big circle of light, different colors, coming out, beautiful, what they call it, stained glass. Rays of color. What is that? The sun. You hear me? They tell you, we will assemble for God on Sunday morning. You with that? Church services is held on Sunday morning. Why am I at morning? Because of Isaiah, where Lucifer is called the son of the morning star. You are going to church on Sunday to worship Lucifer. Lucifer. Could you draw a cipher on the board? The same circle that's in your book for the sun. And if you put a cross to it, you see what's on your churches now. Crosses are on two things, seminaries and cemeteries. And in both places, the people are mentally dead. You with me? Why is an Egyptian pyramid, Mir as it's called, you notice the name is Mir? Do you notice the space shuttles that they're making a big fuss over? It's called Mir. Why? Because they're there on Mars looking for the pyramid next to the face. Right now, where they say, oh, there ain't no pyramids on Mars, there's life on Mars. In the New York Times, I got it on my desk right now, they showed a new planet in a new galaxy. We are presently in the 18th galaxy. They already said that. The Milky Way. The next galaxy would be what? Show sounds familiar to me. They say there's a planet there. I got pictures of it. Look and ask anybody from New York to send you down to New York Times. You know, I'll print it anywhere. That's that eye. The eye of Horus. You see that? The capstone. The Capitol building. And an obelisk is there, Daniel. And, oh, Abraham, Abraham, father of many nations, is sitting there in the position of Ramesses. Ramesses is the one who beat back the Phoenician and Israelite invasion into Egypt. And Abraham, according to the Emancipation Proclamation, is supposed to free the Egyptians that are in America, you Moors. He did not free you. If he did, why do you need a passport? Why does someone got to give you a pass? I remember when I was in school, or shul, the Hebrew word for hell. Look it up. Don't believe pops. Check it out.
They click them on and off at different times. For instance, Sunday morning, they have it on a very low frequency, and people feel it's Sunday, even when they're not Christians. They have it where, well, it's Sunday, it's kind of calm. When it comes to about 8 o'clock Sunday, they start to speed up the oscillation, right? And I'm going to get the oscillators in a minute. Speed up the oscillation valves inside the frequency to get the response. It gets higher pitch and people become more hyper. Sunday, people start speeding faster because they're trying to get them prepared for Monday. What has happened is they know that our body moves on a different frequency, respond differently than theirs does. Obviously, because most Caucasian singers sing in high natural voices. Most Nubian singers sing in low voices. Or they were forced to emulate the Amorites and use what's referred to as a falsetto or a plaything, but not a natural high voice. Very few Nubian singers have a natural high voice, unless they go out their way to, like Seal or a couple of others who want to be Amorites, go out their way to sound like Amorites. They're already programmed. They've already got inside his head when he had that accent and altered his frequency. They can also alter your frequency response. Let me say what I mean by that so you get a better understanding. Years ago, I tried to teach this, but people wasn't as ready then as they are now. Simple, not uncomplicated. It's the period of time that music took a change. From the time you came in from Africa, when everything was based on drums and chant, right? And you had a kalimba, you follow that? And you had a marimba. And then as it moved into the Latino world, and you had the kunda, and et cetera, you know the instruments I'm talking about that apply to us as a people. All right. Now, eventually, our music went into blues. Of course, blues was a result of the fact that the Amorite gave us the blues. He took everything from us, beat us up, robbed us, raped us, castrated us, and we became quite depressed. As a result, our music, which is our emotion, became depressed. In due time, that blues changed into rock and roll for people who had cars. And R&B for those who didn't. The reason why they called it rock and roll is because little Caucasian kids with combs in their back pocket and grease in their hair and bucks on used to drive around with their car radios on and rock while they rolled. Most Nubians couldn't afford a car, so ours was based on rhythm and blues. All of it was done standing one place dancing. And the blues was mixed in depression, now with rhythm, and we called it up tempo. Speed up the tempo a little bit. And there we got rhythm and blues. All right, Amorites, of course, want to do rhythm and blues, the same way a lot of Negroes want to try to do heavy metal and rock. It won't work. Hootie and the Blowfish, it won't work long. He was just put out there to destroy the fact that they had no Caucasian to come up with any good hits this year, and they needed a Negro who's a Caucasian to take all the awards, that's all. All right, so as that happened, he started squeezing us, namely the men, to get us to start singing in high voices, commenced around the 60s. And that produced Delphonics, Blue Magic, Stylistics, Black Ivory, Shy Light, name some more of them. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Temptations had, but they had Mel going. A lot of the hit records were based on, Aleem is his real name, Eddie Kendrick was his other name, right? And he was a falsetto. This was done intentionally to get us to love high-pitched sound. You follow? Because that's the only way we can get a hit record is to sing the way they want. And so Blue Magic and everybody, we all screaming our voices out trying to sound like white people with white men sing naturally in a high voice. You know, which is self-esteem stuff. Right? But they managed to control our minds then. While we were in these clubs, you know, clubs are used for one thing, gathering people or hitting people in the head with. And when you went to a club, both things would happen. They were gathering you and clubbing you in the head, right? Okay. So we were gathering these clubs, And it's before disco creeped in, and we started dancing. The best thing we could go back to was our Latin roots. You follow that? So we grabbed the Latin, and we started going to the Palladium and dancing to the Allegro All-Stars and Tito Puente, Pacheco, and we was in it. And he saw that the Latin population was becoming one with the Negro population, and that really frightened him. And we realized we're the same family. So he tried to split us, but as a split occurred, instead of us going totally away, we started hustling. You know what hustling means, right? Moving fast, jumping around that clown. So we started hustling. And then what he did is he staged an invasion of America by a group called Devo. And they came in with a sound, Trans Europe Express. Had no body language, the group stood there in plastic hats and black eyes and no motion, and just was saying over and over again, Trans Europe Express. That's all he said. Trans Europe Express. And everybody was looking at them. What they were doing is they were introducing the Moog synthesizer. One of the first synthesizers to come in and take out analog sound to bring in digital. To take out acoustic sound and bring in the synthetic instrument. By acoustic sound, I mean when you see a person pick up a guitar with natural strings, not even the metal strings either, catgut string with a wood body, and they're playing that sound with no metal and no wires and no amplification. That's acoustic. When you see a guy pick up a guitar that's all plastic and stick a wire and sometimes he's gonna meet you. That's the first stage of the digital, though a lot of times the original amplifiers were still analog. Analog means work by two. Tesla baby. Alright? Digital crossed out. Alright, so they brought in this group called Devo, and they came in to remove the soul. We moved gradually out the hustle into what was called the bus stop. It was a form of destroying. Amorites took the hustle because what happened is the gay population liked the hustle because it had a lot of body flair to it. It was very much like voguing. Everything was spinning and throwing their hands up. So this was a way for a guy to get his sugar out of his shoes without the public, right? He could consider himself a good hustler, right? And then from that, he could move over and become a good disco dancer. So the guys that he knew, they were very good dancers in the disco that were usually in, had a little sugar in their shoes. You know, they had it working together. They knew what they were doing, all right? And then after they did that, they started slowly but surely introducing their music to our children. Now, how they do that? They remove all of the real instruments. 99% of the music that you hear on the radio or record or tape or CD today is synthetic. The violins are fake. The bass is fake. The drums are fake. It's all in drum machines. No more human element. Without the human element, there's really no emotion. And I don't care whether they tell you, no, when I sample, I put my emotions in it. You put your emotions in the first three licks, and then when you push that continuation button and it goes on by itself, there's no more emotions about what you say. You follow? This is all part of the plan for mind control. The Harp Project relates to the Rainbow Project because where there's sound, there's light. And when sound vibrates, different frequencies give off different colors of light. When you look up and see a rainbow, and you see the seven colors of the rainbow, if they could tap a wire into the violet, you'd get a certain frequency that would give you a certain tone. They knew that. I'm saying that to say, they knew that they had to destroy the root of nine ether, not the hair. They had to get down beneath the hair. The hair grows out of the root. And that's connected to the protein in the body. That's the essence of you. They had to get down inside to destroy that before they could destroy the God in you and turn you from a man to a beast. Which they have, in most cases, if you look at the media today, it's even doing. People have transformed into beasts. You are afraid when you walk through them all. And you are the newbies. And you're afraid of your own people, yes, because that's how dangerous they appear to be. Don't tell me that every place you go, if you come across a bunch of niggas, you're never afraid. Even if you're afraid of what you might have to do to one of them niggas, it's still fair. Because you don't feel like having to hurt nobody, and you definitely don't want to get hurt. But they have done something. There's definitely a transformation that has taken place. So what happened is they eased into the recording studio and made something that was exclusively controlled by record companies a public fad. Get your own recording studio, your own drum machine, your own everything, put in your basement, and do your own mixing and sampling, make your own record. They eliminated all of the acoustic pianos. They even made what they referred to as an electric acoustic piano by Yamaha. And I said it as Yamaha and not Yamaha because the Arabs are also a part of it. And if you look at the Leviathan cover, you'll see I have Arabs on there too. Because they have been working with the devil way back. And I put in the Leviathan book where you see each one of the Saudi Arabian kings sitting with a different president. This has not been one sympathizer. This goes all the way back to the Sultan himself, who you can find in the first page of the cover of Noble Jalali's book, and made reference to several times in the Nation of Islam teaching. They also, I might add, make the mistake for that new information of giving Muhammad two identities in the Nation of Islam teaching. One Muhammad in the message to the black man is referred to as a black Arab. They say he was of the black Arab message. Another set of teachings says that Muhammad was a Caucasian and that the wise men came together and told him how he could not convert his people and he died as a result of a broken heart. That is two different Muhammad. One is Muhammad the conqueror of Palestine, which is clear in the lesson when it says that the devil helped us flee Palestine. The Prophet Muhammad of 1400 years ago, the black Arab, had nothing to do with Palestine ever. He never had any dealings with Caucasians in his whole life. There's no place ever recorded of Rasulullah Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, ever having anything to do with Caucasian. They mention him in the Quran under the term Rum, a surah named Rum. But that's it. They mention it in Surah Taha as on the 2102, on the day the trumpet is blown, we shall gather together the guilty blue-eyed. Now, of course, the Arabs, in their latest translation out of Saudi Arabia, which I have, the latest Quran has blue. The point is that to set that record straight, Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not making a mistake in reference to Muhammad being white in one place and black in the next. No, contrary. It was two different Muhammad. Muhammad the Conqueror was the one that's talking about in the 1-14 in the fact. That's not Rasulullah they're talking about, of taking devil's head. Prophet Muhammad never killed an Amorite in his life, because he never came in contact with Amorites. However, Muhammad the Conqueror, called the great Prophet Muhammad by the Europeans, he did kill Amorites. And he was brokenhearted insofar as Alauddin, defender of the faith, went into the courts of King Richard, revived him, lived with him when he was wounded. Remember, he almost struck down with a lance, brought him back to life and could not convert him and wasn't able to convert the invading Christians who came to Jerusalem. The Muslims there could not convert those Christians because they did not realize they were dealing with the rose and the cross. A certain degree of Knights of Templar and Freemasonry who know more than Islam. And so he was brokenhearted for that. You got that part of the chapter? All right. So now, getting back to the situation here. So here in the world of North America, we were now in these clubs getting banged upside the head with this new music that had only a bottom and a top called disco. We broke away from it, and in came sympathetic instruments, and they rushed into the population access to all types of machines, drum machines, keyboards that play by themselves, pre-coded keyboards, just push the button and the music plays, you know, everything to keep you on a synthetic wavelength. Why? To get back to the point, to try to damage the 9 magnetic particles in the brain.
With all the things happening today, why is it that Nubians aren't responding and not realizing that the end of the world is near?
With all the doctrine that's coming out and all the different things that they're doing little by little, you know, you have an effect on the people in a big way. And you just got to be ready for it. Unfortunately, a lot of Nubians are not into computers like we are. And they don't even know about the Hellbox. They don't even know, they don't know about the Hellbox, right? Comment. Like, a lot of you don't know about the Hellbox comments yet. That's why I got a copy of the tape. So they can hear the Amorites tell them about a craft like entity that seems like it's alive, yet not alive, that's 4 times the size of Earth that they just discovered. And NASA has confirmed it, that it's there, next to a meteorite that came into existence 2 years ago called Hellbox. And it's on the tape, and they call Hellbox. And they're actually talking about this new craft thing, and they tell you it's coming towards Earth, and it's intelligently controlled, and it's coming to get a group of people. And they say on the tape that these group of people that they're coming to get are people that are involved in an advanced study. And no, they literally say it on the tape. They say they're out to teach people. Did anybody hear any of it yet? Oh, y'all picked it up, right? Dropping the song on the way back home. And listen to it. And the end of it, the guy says, in the beginning of it, in fact, he says, I'd like to thank Dr. So-and-so, something Malachi. That's not me now, right? If somebody uses the name Malachi. Most of them don't pronounce the name Malachi. They pronounce the name Malachi. Right? So it's a slip of tongue. When they say Malachi, that means they're letting us know where it's all there, but they cannot deny. And we have we went into the computer and internet, and it showed us the comet. They had pictures of the comet in there, and it's good to know it's there. They noticed Nibiru, and they literally say on the tape, Zachariah Sitchin refers to this as Nibiru. Next came into us was, I tried to fax it to as many people as I can. I don't know if you got the skull. Right? Y'all get the skull of a denacle, the twice the chromium, twice the size. And right after that, about 2 days later, they sent us the skull of a pyro, a cone. Because everybody, when we said the cone is the real, people thought he was chopping off Saturday Night Live. Of course, they don't know that everything the Amorite does, he puts the intelligence in front of you so he won't believe it. But they got actual skulls. So we're getting more information coming constantly because now that people know through the internet that we're the source of this information, they feel free sending us stuff. Amorites, everybody, I got clippings. I got like 10 stories on how Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. You heard somebody, y'all read that one? Had children. Our kids moved, you know, was protected by the, you know, whom, etc. All these stories are coming out. They had a whole thing on television, Yellow Night, on Discovery or one of them, where they talk about, the graves of skulls, the graves of skulls under Old Jerusalem. Well, they have a place called the Grave of Skulls under Old Jerusalem, for those who don't know, where they have all the skeletons of all of the popes and all of that. And that's that place where they say that Freemasons go when they reach a certain degree, believe me, I know, and they go to Jerusalem and they go meet Old Jerusalem and they see the body of Jesus, and they've taken the body of Muhammad out of the 18th century out of Medina. That's when they rebuilt Medina, the mosque in the north. When they did that there, what actually happened is the Shriners took the body of Muhammad out of that, which they had preserved. And his body is also in the under there, and only people of a certain degree of Freemasonry are allowed to see it. It's a confirmation. Actually, they're not looking at Jesus' body; they're looking at Bar Jesus' body, because in there also in a higher degree, they tell you that Jesus went to Egypt and he died there at 120. But Jesus' son, why he was the one that was killed in the streets of Jerusalem, body transferred to the Vatican in Rome, where they simulated the crucifixion of him there, kept his body there for a certain amount of years, and then the Knights of Templar went there and got it and brought it and put it in there. They have a special chamber where they keep things sacred. They also, I don't know if some of y'all remember years ago, I said under the sink, there's some documents. Years ago, I told y'all about that. They're trying to get up under the sink to get these documents. They found out the sink is a symbol, was a symbol of, you know, in the astrological chart of the ancient Egyptians, you know, as the era of Leo, the lion. That's what it's supposed to symbolize, and has something to do with the Mars project and what they refer to as the Adam project. This is that one Adam, right? And so they're unmasking, because we should never say they discovered anything. They don't discover. They uncover. They uncover things that we buried, right? So new word. Just a new one for you, right? They don't discover anything. Anyway, they're starting to uncover a lot of the things that's going to confirm everything that you have put trust in me in is going to become confirmed for you in front of your own eyes. And not that you need it. I know some of y'all would follow me wherever I go. And I do feel that. Right? But I'm just saying, it is good for those who come to your class with the skeptic. And I didn't say skeptic. I said skeptic. They come skipping around looking for some type of evidence to what appears to be a science fiction movie when you start kicking the doctrine on them. I know deep in your heart, as much as you may have loved me and I you, when you had to go out and teach what I was teaching you, it was difficult. You say, no, God is really from another planet. And he has 19 spirits talking to him. And you know, never mind, we'll pick this up later. let's talk about something that appears more sensible. But the confirmation of who and what I am is confirming itself. And that's the best I can ask for from my brother, beyond the stars, that they give me just a little help. Because to come here, you know, to incarnate into this individual body and try to convey this message to people that have been so television, so subliminally sedated. I mean, they remove the essence of the nine from you and implanted the six, the lower side of the circle. It's such a hard job just to get you to not listen to the wrong music. You think you're saying something cool when you say, I like such and such a music. You don't understand nothing about music. But y'all are familiar with the 800 megahertz frequencies that are coming through the air now. You're familiar with that. You do, no, you're not. Okay, well, I thought I talked about it. But you know, each one of human beings have in their brain, they're called magnetic particles. That's the best term that they can come up with them. One day, of course, I'll give you the real name, but let's let them play with it for a while. Magnetic particles. You have nine magnetic particles in your brain. All right? These magnetic particles can be affected by waves, by frequencies, higher and lower. Now, the cellular phones are all set at 800 megahertz. And that brain of yours was 900 megahertz. You follow that? And it dropped down. When Honorable Elijah Muhammad was speaking about the brain capacity of an Amorite being less than that of a Nubian, they were talking about that frequency response, your ability to respond to sound. All right? Of course, as you know, microwave also is moving on a sound. I explained that a couple of years ago, how microwave cooks food by sound, which means that they're able to cue in and deaden some of those magnetic particles. A lot of Nubians, instead of walking around in nine ethers, the nine ethers yawn here, so much in the nine ether state of activated nine magnetic particles, they have dropped down to 4, 3, 2, and when you see a brother who's totally delirious, unable to coagulate words, see, he's about down to 1, and some just go vegetate out. And what they have to do is they give you all types of drugs so that it drops your body down to what's referred to as an alpha wave range, which is one step from dead. And that way you'll stay what they refer to as monotone. Monotone. Mono, they keep you dead, right? And so they are now capable of sending these frequencies out. They are putting these stations along the road. I know as y'all cross the country, if you look up, you see this thing on a tall pole, and it's shaped like a tetrahedron, and it has little things on all three sides. Just look for them and you'll see them. Well, right now the government has 24 different satellites aligned to the planet, around the planet. All right? And he has 24,000 of the receivers and senders situated across the country. He is able to tune in to your radio via frequency. It's called frequency response. This unit that I picked up, that I brought here and clicked on, is a unit that's making it possible for everybody on Kadesh to turn to a certain station on the radio and they can hear me talk without any wire. Which means I'm sending controlled frequencies to the air. You follow that? Once I understand the human and that his brain waves are between 900 and 700, you follow 7.5 ounces of brain, know that? 900 and 700 on megahertz, I can send out certain types of frequencies. I can also lock these frequencies into music because when they started doing it, they did it in a place called Wackenhut Naval Base. This investigation to find out, that's where they started at. And the reason why they refer to it as the HAARP Project, if you heard of that, out of Alaska, is because a harp, of course, is an instrument. And they know that by strumming a harp, you can get different response. Years ago, a lot of people used to come to me and ask me, how do they line their body up? And I would tell them, what they had to do is go to a keyboard and take middle C and find the 2/8 of octaves. Find the octave between middle C from one to the next. Of course, you know, it's 8 notes. And I said, you go up and down the keyboard until you find that note that soothes your body. And then you'll know what key you're vibrating on. You know what vibration works with your body. The Buddha or the Tibetans, they know about this. And so they have learned how to make their throat make 3 sounds simultaneously. And they chant like that. Constantly. And they got this going on right now while we're sitting here. Meanwhile, the practitioners of the faith start off. Om mena benyum, om mena benyum, om mena benyum, om mena benyum. And they're on another frequency while the priests are pulling. See, sound is a strange thing. If Deke is making a certain sound and I do another sound, a half step up or a whole step up, and I do let's say he does a 1 and I do a 3 and he does a 5, we create what's called harmony. You follow that? As you know, none of the groups are singing in harmony no more. They have this new kind of harmony called unitary in harmony. They think they're singing in harmony because 2 or 3 of them are singing the same note and it's partially unison in part harmony, and none of the kids have it no more because they had to stop that because that vibrates 3 bones up here in the sinus that connect to the tetrahedron that the nose creates, which opens the eye of the seer, the third eye. They know what frequency we move on. They know our emotional state. But God, nobody can. None of y'all can do that. And all those fools that left here, and all those that were fools that left here, all they can talk about is the teaching, not the teaching. They can talk about me.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it?
and that he is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Radio.